gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am extra happy clappy today. Clappy, 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 clappy. Why?
Why?
Because I'm on vacation at 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Speak for yourself, sister.
Get back in the salt mines. Lots of things to be happy clappy about this morning. First of all, it's Friday, so you know.
Are you having a party or something?
Non-stop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, baby. And remember, Friday is
Fridays with Fuglesang.
Shit is on fire.
Yeah.
Good morning, children.
Hello, John Fugelsang.
Hello.
Are you both prepared to bow at my feet and tell me that I was right and you were wrong as usual? Naysayers? Naysayers?
About what?
About what?
About what?
Well, tax deal is done. The president will sign it today. That got through yesterday, so it looks very good, actually. Fingers crossed for Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the START Treaty, which I think was the president's plan all along to get all of this done. And I'm excited today. I'm excited. What did you just said last week? I was not going to get done. Don't ask, don't tell.
No, I never said that.
I said that.
Chris did.
Oh, Chris said that.
He's a naysaying mook.
I'm thrilled about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. That's great.
Yeah, that is great.
Yeah. No, I mean, things are looking good. And, you know, once again, the people that say perhaps the president is playing 3D avatar chess and they're playing checkers, perhaps is right.
Yeah, think about 3D avatar chess. You have to have those annoying glasses on.
Yeah, and you also have to plug your ponytail into something.
Whatever.
Yeah, and you also have to be able to afford the chess board you just paid
for.
Yes,
exactly.
That's the tricky part about 3D avatar chess.
Anyway, I have to say yesterday, and you know I love my dear friend Ed Schultz, but, you know, because yesterday it was looking like, you probably saw that, John, that the Democrats might scuttle the tax bill, and he's like cheering them on going, yeah, I say we take this up in January. I'm like, that's exactly what Rush Limbaugh and Sarah Palin are saying. They'll get a better deal in January.
Oh, there's
so
all manner
I'm
of strange bedfellows on this.
I'm relieved that a lot of people will be able to give their kids a Christmas and get unemployment benefits and, you know, just that this got... And I'm just saying, I just think it would have been a political disaster had Democrats scuttled this at the last minute. So, anyway, yay, I'm happy.
Yay. Well, I think a lot of
hate the tax cuts for the rich now.
Like I said, a lot of good... I said last week, a lot of good things will come from this bill, just none of them are paid for. So, you know, the grandkids will enjoy paying for debt.
Yes, well, we got a backdoor stimulus, didn't we?
Yes,
and we never have gotten that on our own. I will have no naysaying this morning.
Oh, dear.
I may have to magically turn you into Hal Sparks, as much as I love you.
Listen, like I said, I see both sides on this issue completely clearly. I'm on both sides on this one.
Are you a Libra like I am? I forget.
No, I'm a Virgo.
Oh, that's right.
Which means I'm too sensitive for my own good.
Yes. And very picky and very critical.
Oh,
but yeah, it's going to be a very, very good bill, and Yogi Bear is going to be a very, very good movie. So I'm excited about both.
See what you did there?
Oh, man. No, I got to say, I mean, obviously, fingers crossed, that was the, a lot of news broke overnight. As you know, I was at a fancy party. I'll tell you about it in a minute.
Yeah, fancy Hollywood party.
Wow, was I at a fancy party. You know, I mostly, as you know, in bed by 6:30 every night.
Well, you break
dinner
a hip
at 4:30.
If you're up after that.
What's that?
You break a hip if you're up after 7.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
And then, you know, once a millennium, I get invited to something very fancy. Anyway, a lot of news broke. Dear God, I came in and was, huh? Harry Reid filed cloture on the standalone Don't Ask, Don't Tell passed by the House this week and the Dream Act. Reid announced he will hold a cloture vote on both measures tomorrow.
Yes.
What? It's almost Christmas. It's the what? It's the 7th. It's going to be the 18th.
The Republicans are just such whiny pansies about this.
Crying, horrible. Whiny babies.
Whining about having to work.
Yeah.
Do their job.
Yeah, how many millions of Americans are out of work?
Yeah,
like, exactly. Well, that's the difference between John Boehner and the unemployed. The unemployed want to work.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
The Mint said it was sacrilege to make them vote this close to Jesus' pretend birthday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It looks like START is going to happen too. I love this. You know, they're talking about, oh, it's a win. And I'm thinking, it's a win for America. Since when did START? I mean, every living, you know, Republican former Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense. Right? I mean, it's for this thing. It's like, what? Huh? This used to be a no-brainer.
No, let's have some more of loose Russian nukes floating around out there.
Oh, John Kyle wanted you and your family to die in a horrible fire cloud.
Exactly.
That's the only
hyperbole much?
That's the only explanation I can come up with.
Anyway, but yeah, I mean, so it's just, again, something that should have been a no-brainer is, you know, but I mean, literally was about, and I have to say, I think the president is going to end the year on a very successful note. I think, oh, God, I hope, START and Don't Ask, Don't Tell will get done. We've got the tax deal. Because now they're out of excuses. Tax deal's done.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
Exactly.
You won't do anything else to the tax. You know, I mean, it's so... Anyway.
Exactly. The Republicans got to serve the upper 2%, and now Democrats can serve everybody else and the rest of the world.
Yes. It is a, may I just say, I think a hopeful time. I'm a little hopeful. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Okay, let me tell you. Can I have my fancy Hollywood music? John, you know me because
you've experienced
my elderly shut-in-ness both in New York and L.A.
Yes.
So this is what I do. I store it up for one big party.
I miss helping you with your bib and such.
He did. John did a little elder care in New York.
I did.
He was one of Mama's handlers.
Oh,
it was very good.
Cute.
Mm. I hooked up the IV every day.
Yes. I spent half
bag,
of this year in New York
needed.
And the other half recovering from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Both physically, emotionally, mentally, financially. Yes.
Central Park is still recovering from your dogs. It's okay.
The Iditarod, as you would call it.
The dump trucks are still shipping their leavings out.
Anyway, I went to it was a sad and a happy event. It was Larry King's farewell party. Hello, it's Spago in Beverly Hills. How about that? Guess who I talked to?
Who?
Wolfgang Puck.
Wow. The owner of Spago.
I gave him a tip. I said, you know what? You should live, laugh, love. That's what you should do.
Huh?
I think that's his thing, isn't it? Maybe it's
Emerald. I have
Emerald.
No idea.
Oh,
no.
Maybe it's the wrong catchphrase. I don't know. The food was delicious. Anyway, it's his restaurant. It's,
I've eaten there.
Have you?
As have I.
Yes. Oh, it was
lovely
delicious.
Place.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I am really sad to see my friend Larry go.
His wife
is delightful. I talked to Sean for a while. He had the kids there. His kid, one of his kids, I forget which one, Chance, does a killer Larry King impression.
He did on the air last night.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw it, but he did one at the party, too. He's like, Chance, stop touching your brother. Sean, do the makeup in the car. Let's go.
I'm looking forward to Larry getting to ask softball questions to his family on his downtime. Now.
Yes.
How great would it be to be able to hear your dad answer the phone in your own house? Hello. Go ahead. Hello. Anyway, it was set. Okay, here's my hopeful moment for America. And I don't know. Maybe it's all a pipe dream, and it's going to only get even more bitter and partisan. But I had some magical bipartisan moments last night. The love story that is me and Ben Stein. We debated a lot, of course, on Larry King. And so he was there, and he told me he wrote something nice about me.
And he did. It was in my Stephanie Miller Google News alert.
Exactly. In his Ben Steinist sort of way. He wrote a nice piece, Long Live Larry King. A lot of people, of course, doing tributes to Larry yesterday. He said, the few times I was on his show long ago were with angry women leftist comedians who specialize in hit-and-run attacks. The experiences were dismaying. But in the last 3 years, my experience on his show were dramatically better. He still had the angry women leftists, but he kept them on subject. And occasionally one of them, Stephanie Miller, landed devastatingly accurate punches at my beloved GOP.
Wow.
Thank you, Ben.
Someone's got a leftist woman fetish.
Yeah.
Am I angry? I don't think I'm an angry leftist woman. I don't know if I
well, that's the way they like to paint the left. It's just angry and
I'm happy clappy.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm,
if you care about the bottom 95% of the population, you must be an angry leftist.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently. No, but we had a really nice conversation last night. And the one thing I have to say is I hope it's not the end of that era, that kind of Republican, because that's what I said to him. I complimented him back, and I just said, you know, he's a reasonable Republican that you can disagree with on things, but, Yes, I mean, he's intellectually honest, and you can have an actual conversation. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, we all do this fighting, whether it's on the radio or on TV. I also ran into Larry Elder, another love story, old friend Larry Elder, who I don't mean he's old. He's an old friend.
Old friend, yes.
Yes. He used to let us steal all his sound bites and stuff when we worked together back in the day.
He's a big family values guy, Larry Elder. He told me that when I met him at the Playboy Mansion.
You know, I will have nothing said about my friend Larry Elder.
Oh, I met him at the Playboy Mansion. He was a delightful man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he really was. Very nice.
He said, my girlfriend thinks you're hot. I'm like, well, this could be a big night, a big bipartisan night for all of us.
But these guys are actually
Republicans. Anyway,
he's very sweet. He's like, I think you're very funny. All my conservative friends think you're funny, blah, blah, blah. And I said that I always say, and we do on the air, that he's very nice. I disagree with him on everything.
Absolutely.
He's wrong, 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 and that's why God made him so pretty. but he's a gentleman. He's always been a gentleman to me. He's always been a really nice guy. Anyway,
real conservatives are gentlemen. But you know, nowadays in the neocon Breitbart thing is where we have these evil, snarling, methed up pit bulls.
That's what it is, John. But what I'm saying is when we talk person to person, you know, that's the problem. It's like you think, is it only in the Beltway or on TV or on the radio that it's like we're just these enemies like pitted at each other?
I mean, the media thinks that's the only way you're going to get ratings. You know, I mean, most sane people are conservative in some areas and progressive in other areas. Our commonalities far outweigh our differences, but the upper 2% and the politicians and the media want us fighting.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are lots of reasonable, sane, very lovely Republicans.
Yeah.
None of them like Andrew Breitbart, but there's plenty of, you know, there's Republicans and there's real conservatives and then there's neocons. And that's what we're dealing with now with these evil
types. I think it's specifically, I always take pains to say it's these Republicans in Congress right now. Mm-hmm. That we've just never seen the likes of which. Some of it is just flat out mean-spirited. Yep. How do you spin that any other way? To, you know, vote against unemployment benefits at Christmas time for people. I mean, when the country's in the kind of shape it's in right now, how do you vote against health care for 9/11 responders? I mean,
that's what the Republicans did this month. They did three things. They voted against caring for 9/11 responders. They voted against helping unemployed people. And they demanded we keep Christ in Christmas.
Yeah. And I have to say, don't ask, don't tell at this point. I mean, you literally have no, you need to just stand there then tomorrow and say, I just hate gay people. Listen, they just make me feel oogie. And they are out of reasons. They are out of excuses.
But they only have one reason. I don't even think these people hate gay people. I really don't. That's not why they're not manly. I think they don't have a problem with gay people. They need homophobes as their base.
Yeah.
So they have to act homophobic.
Well, I just hope gay people don't get thrown under the bus again, like they felt like they did, you know, even with the original Don't Ask, like Don't Tell. Even in this last election, so many people were so elated at Obama's election, and then Prop 8 out here was such a shock, I think. And you know,
gay people
really felt like they got left behind.
I was at your house that night when Obama was elected, and I kept running downstairs to log onto your computer to see about Prop 8, because everyone was celebrating about Obama. And, you know, again, the Democratic Party is very guilty of throwing gays under the parade float when it serves them politically.
By the way, my third conservative love story, I forgot about it. Guess who I had the longest, nicest conversation with?
Who?
Ted Olson, last night. Who, again,
he's
a conservative.
The wizard gave him a heart, though.
Oh, I'm telling you what. I mean, just it could not be nicer, you know? And we just had this like human moment. I don't know why. It's making me feel good as we go off for the holidays, because I just thanked him, as you know a lot of people do when they see him, and you know, talked about the case and yada yada, and you know, I said your wife, who I met in New York, I said your wife is really great, you know, and he just, you know, he looked at me and he sort of joked, he goes, well, you know, it's not the first one, and he's referring to Barbara Olson, his wife, who we lost.
I was friends with Barbara.
Yeah,
I was,
who we
I was
lost on
9/11.
And we just had this moment of, you know, where we just looked in each other's eyes, and I said, I know. I said, I know the whole story, and thank you, and, you know.
But, you know, Barbara was really, really right-wing, but she was very, very lovely in person, and you could get along with her, and she was quite reasonable.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's what you have to hope, is that, the Republican Party gets sort of recaptured again by the Ted Olsons and the Ben Steins and the reasonable people. I mean, it's
conservatives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, but that's what I just thought. It's just that gave me hope, this sort of bipartisan moment. I just sort of said, you know, I know your whole story, and thank you, and I love you, and thanks for all you do. And, we are, hopefully, some of us, human beings at the end of the day,
right.
I'm guessing.
Exactly.
All right, I have a few more hilarious stories from the Larry King party last night.
Including a story about Modern Family.
Yes.
Yeah.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Christmas in Las Vegas, decorate your tree with chips.
Hey.
Let's roll a yo beneath the mistletoe.
Yeah.
While
Stephanie Miller
strips. Rudolph sold the sled, now he's betting on red in a casino made out of gingerbread.
Yeah.
Christmas in Las Vegas, it's a trip.
You're going to spend Christmas in Las Vegas,
well,
you heathen.
Not Christmas Day.
Godless heathen.
I'm going to be there at the beginning of next week. I'm not going to be there on Christmas Day.
25 minutes out of the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Of course, John Fugelsang in New York. Oh, can I tell you, I have another pathetic red carpet story.
What?
Please.
From Larry King's party, the farewell party last night at Spago.
You walked a red carpet?
Well, you know what it is? John, you understand what I mean. It's like pity pictures. You can tell they just take my picture because they told them to, and they don't really even know who I am, and it's just...
Just a lonely little flashbulb going off here and there.
You can, I mean, you can tell. You know, it's the pity version of paparazzi. Yeah.
Miss Miller, over here. Miss Miller, could you step away from Todd Bridges for our shot?
Real,
thank you.
Yes, exactly. Like, real celebrities can't avoid the paparazzi. For me, they're like, oh, did I have to take okay. There's probably not even any film in the camera. They're just like, okay, yes. snappy. Thank you.
Oh, what a loss. The Catholics never got you.
I know. The lady, she's like, would you like to walk the red car? She goes, and I was like, well, I don't, okay. You remember my last experience? Oh, where was it? Oh, the Glisten Awards here in LA. I was with Shelley Wright. Shelley, can you move the radio geek out of the way so we can get a good picture of you? It's really it. All right. Oh, and then everywhere I go, I run into somebody. Chris, you know this is true. I run into somebody who was somehow connected with one of my canceled television shows who has gone on to become much more successful than I am.
Uh-oh. Who is this?
Which is kind of pretty much everyone.
Yeah.
Eric Stone Street.
Right.
The big guy from...
he was connected to your...
The big guy, the other half of the gay couple in Modern Family.
Right.
Ah, yes.
And he's, trust me...
Cameron.
Only playing gay because he was with a very hot chick.
Yes.
You mean he's gay for pay?
Yes, he's Eric Stone Street, who is hilarious and brilliant.
He's Cameron.
I just met his other half, Jesse.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
Yes.
Yes, he plays Mitchell.
Yes, anyway. So, Eric Stone Street, I see him at the party, and he goes, oh, you know, I've got a secret. The show you hosted on the Oxygen Network, I was the guy in the little skits that used to roll in at the top of the show, like he played my maintenance man or whatever. That it was supposed to be shot in my apartment, and I remember him. He was this. They would roll in little funny things every now and again. He goes, I was the, and I'm like, I remember you, that guy. You were the really funny guy in the.
And now look at
no
him.
Idea. I know, and now he's. He was.
He's
like
on the number one new show last season. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. All right. All I'm saying, John Fugel, saying you have a big, big future ahead of you.
Yeah, I'm excited about my future.
You know what I am? I'm like a booster rocket, Chris. I am back here in mediocrity. And somehow contact with me launches people to heights, and someone must. You know, it's
you
like,
are the Danny
I'm,
Rose.
I'm like a snake skin that must be molted.
You are the Danny Rose.
That's right.
Left-wing female radio.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing like
Are you phlegmy today? Oh, what's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm a little...
drunk.
Yes! Yes! That's... okay, who else? I talked to Jane Fonda. She was there. I talked to Dr. Drew, who's getting a new show on CNN.
Did you tell Jane Fonda that you took her classes?
Yes, she remembers. Okay. I took her 6 a.m. Jane Fonda's workout thing back in...
Did she actually teach it?
College, yes! Wow. 6 o'clock in the morning. The woman's made of steel. She did that workout consisted of 5,000 leg lifts or whatever. Oh, anyway, Jenny Craig, I met Jenny Craig.
The Jenny Craig?
Yes, she could not be nicer. She was there with her beautiful daughter and son-in-law and I hold...
Whatever.
You just really felt like you had to watch what you were eating. I was like, I spit out an hors d'oeuvre. Oh!
Was there an ugly fitness East Coast, West Coast thing with Jane Fonda and Jenny Craig?
No, there was not.
Oh, that's good.
Was Liza Minnelli
there? Tony Robbins. I talked to Tony Robbins, who could not be nicer or bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend
tall.
Was like, I wonder how big his is. His hands are huge. Which was not Lisa Gibbons. Talk to Lisa Gibbons, and also the last one, Mark Garagos, celebrity lawyer. He used to defend Bill Clinton on my CNBC another canceled TV show. You know, during the impeachment thing, and so I forget. I put the rose colored glasses on, and I forget the whole Scott Peterson thing. I just
Scott Peterson,
that all.
You said yes.
Yeah, Scott. He defended Scott Peterson. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yes.
But a delightful lawyer and a nice guy.
He 29. Bill Clinton and Scott Peterson.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back with Christine Romans next.
Does your family always have such messed up Christmases?
Yeah, Stephanie Miller. And now you do too.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Our very personal favorite, Christine Romans.
Yay!
The smart one. From CNN's Your Money. Hi, Christine.
Hi, how are you guys?
I'm good. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you.
Well, you know, so much to talk about today. What a day. We must be psychic bookers that we have you on this morning.
I know. Let me see. There's a tax cut agreement. There's concerns about subpar economic growth in the U.S. There's worries about the Eurozone, stock market near two-year highs, and I just wrote a book. What else could there be to talk about?
But Yogi other than Bear. That, yeah, first of all, let's start. The president will sign the tax bill today. I think on balance, again, I know there's been a lot of, you know, discussion, a lot of dissension about this, but on balance, I think it's a good thing. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, the deficit experts, one of them calls it all candy, no spinach, but let's be honest, the economy needs a little sugar rush right now, and a sugar rush can kind of keep you going until you get your energy back. So that's right. Sort of the point of this whole thing. There are some things in there that kind of confound, you know, deficit people. I mean, they're looking at the payroll or the estate tax relief. You know, they kind of get your least stimulative bang for your buck out of that. For the jobless benefits, you know, you get a lot of that money goes right into the economy. The payroll tax cut, there's a good bang for your buck out of that. It's a big package. There's some people hate some things, some people love other things, but this is politics, right? And this is what we got.
Christine, actually, you may have, I don't know if you heard during the break, I was actually at CNN or Larry's CNN party last night, so I missed a bunch of things since I was drunk. So tell me, did you, was there any alteration to the estate tax? I know, you know, late yesterday, obviously progressives were fighting for that. Was there any change at all? Or tell us what the final estate tax thing is, the same as in the Senate bill?
What I know right now is there's about $68 billion in estate tax relief, unless there was an 11th hour change that I don't know about. But it looks about like $68 billion, which is less than we had thought it would be $80 or $90 billion in estate tax relief. So it looks like maybe $68 billion. Progressives are still, you know, hopping mad about this. But bottom line is, you know, almost everybody, unless you are a single person making under $20,000 a year, just about everybody is getting some relief in this or will have seen a higher tax bill. Otherwise, so I mean, this is what happens when you rush. You know, and I'm going to tell you, I think that the political upheaval. I think this is a reflection of political upheaval, and also people are scared. I mean, policymakers are scared about what the economy looks like, and they're trying to do anything they can to avoid something worse. I think they want to get this economy moving a little bit better than it is, and I think this is it's a big risk, Stephanie. It's a big gamble.
But they're
confident that again, a sugar rush is better than no rush at all.
Well, I mean, I think you know he did get a back. Backdoor stimulus that we wouldn't have gotten otherwise that certainly a lot of economists think we need. But, you know, I wonder if you can answer this question for me, Christine, because I feel like Republicans never answer it. Is why do they not think these tax cuts for the rich, aren't they provably the cause of a large degree of the deficit, both in this bill and in general as to how we got here? How do they just think that doesn't count?
It all counts. It all counts. You know what else counts? A cratering economic activity that just hammered us, you know? I mean, just hammered us. And wars and all kinds of different spending. The fact that Congress, you know, can spend money that it doesn't have sort of without doing anything but raising the debt ceiling over and over and over again. Whenever you see the Congress working together and speaking with one voice, it's when they just raise the debt ceiling so they can spend more money.
But, you know, Christine, all I'm saying is it just seems like to me, and maybe, you know, again, I'm on one side here, but it's a no-brainer. Just, you know, this is math. It's not one of those, you know, BS opinion subjects, is it? I mean, as you say, the wars and the tax cuts for the rich are largely how we got this deficit. So even when you look at this bill, you know, not all spending is the same, right? I mean, the spending, the stimulus is probably needed and is good spending, whereas the tax cuts for the rich are not needed and not stimulative and, you know, not job creators as the last 8 years and as the last 8 years have proved.
The Bush tax cuts, according to the CBO's own methodology, the Bush tax cuts return about 10 to 40 cents of every dollar spent.
Yeah.
10 to 40 cents of every dollar spent. So, I mean, you can make your own judgments on that. And that's why the liberals and the progressives are just so hopping mad about this whole thing, because they have listened to the president for more than 2 years talk about, and on the, you know, how many, I mean, we can put the sound together and it goes on forever. The number of times the president on the campaign trail said that he was going to raise taxes on the rich, he was going to take those away, and now they haven't. And that's why liberals are so mad.
Well, and of course, but, you know, again, there's enough blame to go around. The president also wanted them to hold this vote before the elections, and they didn't want to. And so now, you know, here we are trading it for unemployment benefits. And by the way, unemployment benefits, in my opinion, not only the right thing to do, you know, for people that are out of money, out of work before Christmas, but they're stimulative, right? I mean, you know, people spend that money, put it back in the economy.
In fact, Mark Zandi at Moody's Analytics and many others, the CBO and many others, said jobless benefits return at least a dollar, dollar for dollar, and up to $1.90 in the economy. I mean, they go immediately. I mean, people who are on jobless benefits are right on the edge. And, you know, you're going to hear still, I think you're going to hear in 2011, you're going to hear people talking about, you know, getting off the couch if you're on jobless benefits and getting a job, and you have to cut people off eventually. The president only got 13 months of jobless benefits extension. He didn't get, you know, 2 years like he did for the estate tax or whatever. And you're going to hear this debate again. But the bottom line here is that next year and beyond, we still have a two-tiered jobs market where there are people who've been out of work for 6 months or longer, and there are few opportunities for them. People who are going to see a better jobs market are people who just are recently unemployed. So you're going to have this bifurcated jobs market, which means unemployment benefits are still going to be a fight we're going to be having.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've talked to economists, you guys, who think that this new economy we live in, we're going to have to build in a certain tens of billions of dollars a year of safety net for people who've been out of work for 6 months or longer who can't find their way back in.
Yeah, yeah. Christine, the other big story, obviously, you know, that broke overnight is the, I guess, in a victory for fiscal conservatives, is the way the Wall Street Journal is putting it. Senate Democrats abandoned the omnibus spending bill to fund the federal government, acknowledging there isn't enough support. Obviously, a visibly frustrated Harry Reid said he was forced to drop the bill after 9 Republicans would previously indicate they would support it, won't vote for it now. But, I mean, just enormous hypocrisy, right? Voting against it because of earmarks, most of which we've requested. You know, I mean...
isn't this their job? Isn't that like the one thing they're supposed to do?
Yeah, I mean, the power of the purse.
But aren't they supposed to spend? Isn't the omnibus spending bill what they're supposed to do? They
yes.
get elected to go
mm-hmm.
and like run the government.
Yep.
Isn't by saying that we can't do it, is that saying, well, we were elected to run the government and we can't even do that thing, which is our job?
Right.
That's what really. I think this is what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about another year or so of a political upheaval because I don't see the economy getting better quickly enough for all of these shenanigans to go away in Congress, and I think it's
right.
going to be a very busy year for all of us.
Well, and that's the thing, Christine, is the Republicans could have just taken their own earmarks out of there, but instead, again, you're right, it's just about politics. They want a victory. They want, we're just going to vote the bill down. So obviously, government would have shut down tomorrow. And so, Chris, what's the compromise? They're doing a stopgap, basically.
Yeah, that'll keep the government running until February.
Yeah.
Gloria Borger, I heard on our air yesterday on CNN, she had the best. She said, you know, it's like just one more drink, and then after that, I'm going to get sober.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Christine, you know, there is so much crunchy goodness in your book. I don't even know where to start. Just the smart is the new rich. If you can't afford it, put it down. That could solve everything in the country, couldn't it?
I know. I'm sending that to 535 members of Congress.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you basically say we should live by three qualifiers: live within your means, live with less debt, and be less vulnerable. What do you mean by all that?
Well, I mean, the debt thing got crazy. You guys, I'm sure out where you are, you saw it too. You saw all these, morons get rich over the past 20 years, and you were like, huh, wait a minute, I'm kind of cautious, and wait a minute, how come, what's going on here? Everything's kind of upside down.
Yeah.
And now we're back, things are right side up again, and it hurts, frankly, and people who did everything right still got hurt. You've got to just, you know, you've got to live below your means. I would say 10 to 15% below your means if you have the luxury of doing that. You've got to have less debt. You need to have a goal in mind to get out of credit card debt in 3 years. Otherwise, you cannot build and invest for the future, and we don't know what this economy, everything's out of our control. I mean, look, we're talking about Congress. Everything's out of our control. So you've got to be out of your debt, and that's going to make you less vulnerable, and that's all we can do right now to control what's happening to ourselves, because we know it's going to be crazy over the next few years. I'm sure it's going to be crazy over the next few years.
Yeah. Well, that's what you talk about is the new normal, to basically help us think differently about our money and relearning good habits for prosperity. I think you're right. We really are in a new normal.
And I think that 2011, honestly, to be upbeat, I know that I keep saying how crazy things are going to be, but if you have a job or you have money in the bank and you have not just been decimated by the last 2 years, there are going to be people are making moves right now and are playing offense again. I mean, Ned Reilly, a Wall Street guy I've watched forever. I mean, he thinks we're going to have big stock market gains again next year. I mean, the Dow is near 11,500 again. I mean, people who were confident this year are doing better. If you are in your job, it's a great time to be asking for a raise. It's a great time to be trying to move up because ranks are so lean. If you're a good performer, and I'm hearing again and again, there's a war for talent in anything with science, technology, engineering, math. Unfortunately, unfortunately not radio, journalism, or television, but so those people we know who are smart math people are all doing very well right now. So there are places to move, and next year is going to be a year of upward mobility for some people. What I'm worried about are the people who've been left behind and the kind of political and economic questions that's going to raise and what that's going to mean for everyone as a society. So that's a big sort of history book question where we are right now. Well, personal finance question, there's going to be some good stuff for people, I think.
Let's talk real quick before you go about, you know, you mentioned that for 30 years, the financial rules for life revolved around abundant credit, and that bubble obviously has burst. Where do you see that going?
I think you're already starting to see the credit card companies and the banks trying to figure out how to find people who are going to be prolific spenders again. You're already seeing them target with new internal models, new credit score models that you don't even know about, who's most likely to max out the credit card, who's most likely to jump ship for a lower interest rate, and they're already kind of out there trying to woo new customers. If you've noticed a lot of 0% transfer offers in your mailbox, it's because the internal models from the credit card companies are worried that you're going to go to a different credit card company, and they know that you've got money to spend, and they want you to start spending again, borrowing again. They want you to start borrowing. So there's going to be, again, for 2011, there's going to be temptation again. I say be disciplined.
Yep, there you go.
Keep your money in your pocket.
Oh, the financial dominatrix, ladies and gentlemen, Christine Romans, disciplining us once again. Christine Romans of CNN's Your Money, and the book is...
Smart as the New Rich, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, and we have links to purchase it over at StephanieMiller.com.
Aren't we something?
Yes.
All right. What do we get out of that? Just Christine Romans' love?
Just Christine Romans' love.
All right, that's fine.
Yes. And her advice.
All right. Thanks so much, Christine. We'll talk to you soon. Happy holidays.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Yay. There she goes.
And Hal
Sparks.
That doesn't
seem like that's being the smart, the new rich.
Right.
So we're getting nothing out of that.
Hal Sparks wrote the foreword to her book.
I know he did.
Yeah.
In a
very
one
nice.
Degree of
Stephanie Miller.
Separation.
That's right.
Yes. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Fugle Sang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Because everything about this is disgusting.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The dude in red back at the bowl up north where everything is cold. But if he were right here tonight, he'd say, Merry Christmas. And to all, a good night.
Yeah. Hey, what?
51 minutes after the hour. Max in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Max.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, baby.
I support this going through because I think it's probably the best deal we could have gotten.
Yeah.
But what bothers me about this, and I think we progressives need to look at this and contact our representatives at the proper time, I don't think that these tax cuts will ever go away or be restored. And I think that in 2 years, when it comes time for the Social Security taxes to be restored, what are we going to hear? We're going to hear, oh, we can't put that back on the businesses. They're struggling without it. How can we tax business again? This will hurt our recovery. Mm-hmm. And when we keep, you know, LBJ was against tax cuts because he famously said, once you give them away, you never get them back. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening here. These things are a devastating trap. And every time we cut them more and more, we walk further into it. I've been listening to the show for years.
Yes.
I've listened the last couple of weeks when this has been talked about. I don't hear anybody else saying this. Maybe they have.
Yeah. Well, that's because you failed to listen to every single minute of the show.
I apologize
yes.
for that. But,
yes. Max, nobody, at least obviously on our side, likes these tax cuts for the rich, including the president. And I share your fears about Social Security. Bernie Sanders made some great points. But, you know, all we can hope is that there are more intelligent people like you and me and John and Chris
and speak with one voice
about this and stand behind the president and get him some more Democrats and, you know, himself reelected in this in the next cycle. And, you know, who knows what we can get done.
But I want to say we are fortunate to have you guys fighting the good fight. We're fortunate to have Lawrence O'Donnell and Keith Olbermann and Ed Schultz.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, we can start talking about these things, and hopefully we can get some better candidates out there and turn the tide on. So you guys have a great holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you, honey. Yeah, well, Chris, you've said it from day one. Maybe it's better messaging. Maybe, you know, it's a regrouping and talking about that, because my frustration is, you look at all these issues, the American people are on our side.
Yeah.
I mean, the president said that. He said, you know, I know what polling is. I know where I'm on the right side of this issue. But, you know, here's the political reality we find ourselves in. Sorry, John, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, but, you know, the problem also is that he's walking into a complete re-election trap in 2012 when these are going to expire. There's no way he's going to be able to let them expire in 2012. So it's going to go on and on forever. And, you know, again, there's a lot of great things in the bill, but the problem is without letting the tax cuts on the wealthy expire, there's no way to pay for all the great stuff we like.
Unfortunately, I agree with Rush Limbaugh and Sarah Palin. I mean, they wanted to kill this bill because they thought they'd get a better deal in January, and they probably would.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
President wasn't willing to gamble that, and I'm glad. John, my right-wing love muffin in Amherst, up the transit from Mama's hometown, Lackport, New York.
Merry Christmas, John.
Merry Christmas, Jan.
Merry Christmas and happy Festivus to Chris.
I
understand you're an atheist.
So I am, but I celebrate the secular parts of Christmas. It's a great holiday.
And he's going to play the baby Jesus in a manger slots machine.
Oh, you'll take the days off, huh? All right, listen, Christy Romer.
I guess you're not entitled to any days off because you're a godless heathen, is what his point is.
Okay, because I don't.
You show up to work on Christmas, Mister, even though I'm not here.
Because I don't worship an invisible man in the sky, I don't get any holidays. Thanks, John.
How do you know he's in the sky? Hey, listen.
Don't be the right-wing Grinch who stole Chris's Christmas.
Hey, good. I'm glad we're having levity today.
Yes.
Hey, listen, Christy Romer mentioned something interesting.
Romans.
She was talking about the new level of underclass, those who are perpetually sucking at the tit of the taxpayer.
Let me explain why.
No, please let me.
You mean the ones who spend all their money and keep the economy afloat?
John, listen, I deal with small businessmen all the time. I actually sell them things and stuff like that. And we always have these conversations. And I say, listen, it is a rhetorical question for the most part. I ask them, would you actually hire someone who for 2 years has been taking money that wasn't...
Well, what do you sell small businessmen? Are you in the mob protection? What do you sell?
I sell them improvements in their property and things like that. It's a seasonal business. I find
what do you
my
do?
Own skills.
Be shame I if sell, something happened to your little hardware
I
store.
I sell energy improvement things to people, and what I do find, because I'm a salesman, it takes as little as 2 or 3 weeks for my skills to dull. I'm in a seasonal business, so I don't really sell things all the time. I do know that after a few
I'm sorry.
Weeks,
I don't get what you sell. Say it again. It's a seasonal business?
Yes, it's a seasonal business. I sell.
You sell Christmas
doors,
trees?
Things like that, windows, doors, things like that.
Oh,
stuff that can't be sold in the wintertime.
Oh,
in
got
Buffalo.
It. Okay.
I sell things in December and January. My whole point is that I know that my skills get dull in this particular amount of time. If someone is not working for 2 years, what can't you people understand about someone's self-esteem where they would actually sit and do nothing for 2 years as long as they can get a paycheck for doing it?
Is that all of them?
That $300 a week is such a winning paycheck.
Yeah, they're rolling around in it, not looking for work.
Christina Romer said specifically.
Christine Romans is her name.
Christina Roman said exactly what my point was, is that there's a new underclass of the people who are perpetually unemployed. Why is that? You think that because it doesn't make them lazy, the people will be screaming to get these. I want these people. You think they're screaming for the people who've been...
So, John, are you for no unemployment insurance at all? Is that...
Now, wait. Okay, interesting you said that.
Oh.
Now, I'm in for a redefinition, I guess, of insurance, because insurance isn't insurance.
Sure.
And, you know, say you take out
$100,000... Yes, you pay into it. You,
no,
I mean,
you don't.
Yes,
through
you do.
Your employer, you
no,
do.
Through your employer,
when
you do.
When you pay for insurance, when you pay for insurance, you're paying for your own 26 weeks, 52 weeks. Anything over that is not really insurance. It's really kind of welfare.
John, we have never voted down unemployment. When we were at 7% unemployment, they voted to extend unemployment benefits. I mean,
there's one of these rules of law saying if you subsidize something, you are going to get more of it. If you subsidize a corn crop, you're going to get a whole lot more corn. If you subsidize
So we're subsidizing unemployed people and thereby making more unemployed people because they want that cushy $300 a week.
It's not a cushy thing. It's not a cushy thing.
You're right. It's not a cushy thing.
No, it's not.
But it's a safety net.
So you're saying we're creating more unemployed people that want to sit on your seasonal long chairs or whatever on their butt and make that $300 a
John,
week.
Were you opposed to NAFTA?
All right. 58 minutes after. Sorry, John. I had to let him.
That's
we're out of time. Yeah. As much as I...
I was just about to use his own logic and destroy him.
If history is any guide, the conversation would end with, this is all because of a bunch of black guys. making mortgages in the back room, a bunch of black guys.
All those lazy unemployed who lost their jobs on purpose.
Yep.
All right. Boy. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Somebody sent me a funny thing on the interwebs. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, told free from anywhere. Hey, Ecclesiastical Mook, it's for you.
Oh,
Amy,
yes, my child.
And Amy in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Amy.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering if John could maybe help me out here. The way I was raised as a Christian, because, boy, a lot of these conservatives love to spout that Christian rhetoric.
Don't they?
I don't believe, yeah, I don't remember the part where it said it's okay to quote just the parts of the Bible that are sexy to you. And I don't understand where, you know, if you're saying whatsoever you did to the least of these, you did to me. You know, Jan and Amherst's behavior and talk is just absolutely appalling.
Yep.
And I challenge him to go say to somebody's face, you're just lazy because you don't have a job.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't have a job. He was lazy, too.
So, Jesus was lazy, too, apparently, according to John.
When did Jesus ever earn a paycheck?
The Bible of John.
Jesus was a carpenter and he was non-union, you. Shut up.
All right. Thank you, Amy.
Amy's exactly right. Look, folks, there's like 7 references in the Bible to being gay, and there's over 4,000 to helping the poor. Okay? The entire thing is built on the backs of helping the poor. And pretty much there's no better way to spit in the face of Jesus than to call the poor lazy. Jesus never called the poor lazy, and he never asked a leper for a copay. And, you know, it's just absurd how these people have cast Jesus as their cheerleader with pom-poms on the sidelines as they seek to undermine everything the guy stood for. And it's really, really important because y'all out there know your conservative friends and neighbors and coworkers. You got to call them out on the Christianity thing because it's really easy to do.
Thank you. Ecclesiastical Mook, perfect day for us right before to remind us of what the Christmas season is really all about,
remind
Charlie Brown.
Jesus' fake birthday, yes.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Okay. I was
lights,
laughing because someone sent me my favorite Christmas card again. I'm sorry, my dog, your baby Jesus lawn ornament.
Yes.
Mm.
And it does look like a picture of a Great Pyrenees,
yes, it does.
Max or Fred, my dogs. But then they alerted me also to a new website called You Park Like a Hole. And there's a bunch of pictures of some people taking up actually 2 handicapped spaces.
Yes.
Like they're parked in the middle of, because they're holes.
Someone down in the parking garage here at Stephanie Miller International parked like an a-hole this morning, I noticed.
I did?
No, not you.
Oh.
There was someone when I got here that was parking like an a-hole.
Mm.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I mean, that's pretty much de rigueur in L.A., though. Really. I mean, if you have an SUV, you owe it to L.A. to put it in a compact space.
Yeah, you know what? If you live in a city as crowded as Los Angeles, don't drive an SUV, for crying out loud.
I have a 2 giant dog exemption. I have to. How am I going to? They're as big as horses.
Nothing against SUVs. Just stop parking them in the compact space.
Compact space.
Yes.
Easy. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Oh, give me some Christmas music. We have to thank Bonnie at Mephisto. We have new shoes. Yes, Bonnie from Great Lakes Shoe Store, Mephisto Great Lakes Shoe Store. If you're in our Chicago area,
yes, WCPT,
or even if you're not, walk there. If you have Mephisto shoes, you could walk there from wherever you're listening from.
They're very comfortable.
Oh, they're comfortable. Here's to walking on sunshine. We hope you enjoy the Mephisto Lakes Great Lakes Shoe Store Mephisto shoes. That's what they sent us for Christmas. Thank you, Bonnie, and thank you for your support. Okay. Speaking of Christmas, Lindsay writes, Mama and the Mooks, how about a heaping helping of a Hannity Claus before you go on vacation? It just isn't Christmas without it. Oh, Lindsay, you're right.
If we go down the list, Howard Dean is as shrill as any Democratic chairman I've ever seen. Republicans are evil, brain dead. Dick Durbin's ridiculous comments about Gitmo. Senator Kennedy's comments, a whole bunch of them. Against the president himself, constantly calling him liar.
He's making a list.
Hey.
Checking it twice. He's going to find out who's not in.
Unhinged. Shrill. Unglued. Screeching. Angry. Out of control. Democrats. Hannity.
Claus is coming to town.
for it. List. Who doesn't enjoy his little... Hey, they're not really questions he asks his guests. They're lists. He reads little lists to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Craig in St. Louis Obispo. Interestingly, some people have some thoughts on Jan and Amherst. Hi, Craig.
Good morning.
Yes.
You know, I am so tired of these so-called Americans that want to put down other Americans that have tried and tried and tried to get employment. My best friend, her son, was unemployed a year before the bubble burst. He was out every day looking for a job. He has a family man. He has a wife and two kids to take care of, a mortgage, like everyone else. And just last month, he was able to find a job.
Yeah.
Hey, old thing was coasting on that $300 a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Living the high life.
You know, if you voted for Bush in 2004...
What's that? Sorry. Kevin in Minnesota, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thanks, Steph. A good example is, since the Metrodome's roof collapsed the other day, the Vikings are going to play the Bears Monday night on the University of Minnesota campus.
Oh, Bears.
But the field is full of snow, so they put a call out the other day, $10 an hour. Show up with your shovel, do back-breaking work in sub-freezing temperatures, and they had to turn people away.
Nice.
People out there want to work. They're willing to do the work. They're willing to do work that right-wingers wouldn't do, by the way.
Yeah.
And it just irks me that these self-important people pontificate, when only the Pope's supposed to do that, by the way, but they pontificate on the radio and other places and call people lazy and out of work.
That's
and
right.
It is terrible.
That's right. All right. Thank you, honey.
Just
all right.
Give them a tax cut. That'll fix it.
Stephanie in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Steph.
Hey, guys. Hey, I want to wish you happy holidays.
Thank you.
Going to miss you, but, you know, Hal's awesome as your little guest host. So
indeed. And hopefully John Fugelsang will be able to call in on his normal, his Friday.
Yeah. But, I haven't really chimed in on this tax debate because my head's exploding living in Wisconsin and being inundated by Republicans that just want to eat us all up if we don't agree with their fascist ways. But anyway.
Yeah, and thanks for killing the Madison to Milwaukee train. Thanks.
Oh, God.
Taking all the jobs with you. Thanks.
Minnesota hates us now, too. So
yeah.
Anyway, but, during the old healthcare debate, it was like compared to making sausage, it was awful. And, you know, during this whole tax cut. Care, thank you.
Hey, you got your healthcare and my tax cut.
Yeah, exactly. But it reminds me of your sauerkraut recipe—it's similar to that. You know, every once in a while, you'll forget like an ingredient, and then like 2 days later, you'll go, "Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you."
Oh, dill. Yeah, I know. I forgot the dill.
Sauerkraut.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, the
sauerkraut.
Right. Damn it.
Anyway,
all
right. Wish you all
thanks,
a
honey.
Merry Christmas. It's my birthday on Christmas, and I'll finally be your age and the president's age again. So I'm all
good. All right. Happy Christmas, Hana Kwanzaa, to you.
All right. You're Gen Xer.
All right.
Yes. You're not a Gen Xer.
Yes,
Stephanie.
I am.
No, you
someone
are
else
not.
Told
no.
me that again last night. They
no.
said you're right and the Mooks are wrong.
No,
you're a really old Gen Xer.
No. Someone who's turning 50 next year is not a Gen Xer.
No.
I cite no greater source than Tom Brokaw, my friend, who called President Obama our first post-boomer president. I'm exactly the same age as President Obama.
Doesn't make you a Gen Xer though.
No,
I'm a post-boomer.
Barely.
Did you play
post.
Atari 2600?
All right, let's dive into the right.
Did you play up Atari 2600?
What?
Did you play in it? Do you know what Atari 2600 is?
No, I've never
then
been
you're
technical.
You're not a Gen Xer.
I've never been technical. I don't play anything. I never played anything.
Mm.
All right, let's dive into the right wing world and see what's doing. I remember Pac-Man. Does that mean
that
I'm
counts.
Old?
Okay, you're X.
Thanks.
No, she's not X. Don't give her any.
Hey, I laid down my Pac-Man cred.
Oh, God.
I love those little things.
That's not the sound you made.
They eat other things, right?
Waka, waka, waka,
yeah, they
waka,
ate
waka.
Other things.
They went waka, waka.
Yeah, that's what...
You remember
yeah,
Pong. You're... You won't admit it, but you remember Pong.
I don't. I never was a game person. Okay, Rich Galen on the Situation Room on the START Treaty.
A major arms control treaty deserves... a careful look and a close look, and I think that's in and of itself is enough. The notion that for some reason there's this artificial deadline of having to get it done in the 111th Congress is just silly.
Yeah.
So I don't think they needed it.
No.
I also don't think that we need Harry Reid to tell us what is and what's not, you know, sanctimonious. I mean, Harry Reid and sanctimonious are together in the dictionary.
Oh,
well put.
Yeah, I know you are, but what am I? Yeah, they've only had it for 8 months,
yeah.
And every major Republican figure, including every former defense secretary, Secretary of State, is for this treaty. It's like, okay, yeah. We need a little more time to think about it.
Well, but John Kyle would rather you and your family die in a horrible mushroom cloud.
In
a really sanctimonious way.
Hmm.
Yes.
In fact, send him a Christmas card, won't you? Dear John Kyle. Thank you for risking my family dying in a horrible mushroom cloud. Merry Christmas.
We spend $1 billion a week to illegally invade Iraq to get nukes that aren't there.
Right.
But to try to contain loose Russian
nukes.
We know are there.
Yeah.
That's un-American.
Yes.
At exactly. Christmas time.
Very good, John Fugelsang.
Thank you.
Gold star. Here we go.
Sacrilege.
Alex Castellanos.
The president's going to have to move to the right on so many things to try to get reelected. He's already done it on taxes, tax cuts for the rich. He's going to have to move to the right on spending cuts and cut some things Democrats are not going to want. He's got very few places to make his base happy. I think by this summer, he's going to start pulling people out of Afghanistan. He has to. This is the one thing that could get a Howard Dean back into the presidential race against Barack Obama.
What? That was the most confused... I don't think it's a question of the president moving to the right. He's trying to get some things done. I mean, in this new environment, if you're going to get anything done for the American people, like this deal that we just had to do to help people, then it's like, I hate that whole narrative, the move to the right. Ugh. All right.
But he has.
Yeah, he moved to the right.
Yeah, but I don't see it as moving to the right. I mean,
Clinton did that to get things done.
Yeah. And then he got things done.
How come everybody on the right hated this bill and wanted it to be voted
down? Because they're
then?
Further on the right. They're way to the right.
It's their job to hate everything he does.
All right. Let's take a quick pause. Let's hit the pause button.
Okay.
As when we'll continue with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Spinal Tap. 23 minutes after the hour. What's the name of that?
Christmas with the Devil.
Oh, it's festive. All right. Oh, we interrupt this vomitous right-wing world for a little skit by Chris and Yankton about me defending my Gen X status.
Yes. Mm. This just in. Stephanie Miller, aging starlet, was heard to exclaim, "Why, just the other day, Fanny Bryce and I rode the Brown Derby discussing baby boomers and how unlike them we are." As if to prove our point, at that very moment, Lillian Gish alighted from her carriage and concurred that, like her, we too were Gen Xers. So there, hurrah.
Shut up, Chris. I am not one of your fans.
I do enjoy Lillian Gish references.
Yes.
Don't we all?
Betty White was just doing some Brady Bunch jokes. She's Gen X, too.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed so hard since my first talkie. What? All right, let's move into the right-wing world again. Rush Limbaugh.
I so detest this class warfare stuff sponsored by this president and his party. The so-called war on the rich is nothing more than a war on employers. It's a war on small entrepreneurs. And ultimately, that means the war on the rich is a war on the middle class.
What?
Which means they hate Christmas, my friends. It's so obvious.
Do you ever notice it's only class warfare when you fight for the bottom 95% of Americans?
He had to ice down his groin after that stretch. And, fortunately, he could ice the giant anal cyst.
I'm a small businessman, my friends. Well, I would be if I lost 87 pounds.
All right, Michael Savage on the start training.
I'm begging you to email your senators and tell them to stop, start, or we'll throw you out of office. You can't let Harry Reid, who apparently now is working for the opposition, to do this. I really used to think Harry Reid was simply a liberal. Mm. I now fear the man is working for the enemy. I now fear Pelosi is in the pocket of the enemy. I now fear that half the Republicans are receiving money from foreign powers. I now fear them as much as I fear Obama, the destroyer.
Wow.
Is he broadcasting from a 6x6 foot cell?
Obama is Obama the destroyer?
Yes.
Obama the destroyer.
Isn't the enemy people who want to use loose nukes on us?
Yes. Oh, Nancy Pelosi is a red, I guess. Is
yeah, Red Sonja. She's Red Sonja.
And don't forget, Savage's real name is Wiener, but he swallowed that one.
Things of that nature.
All right. We will drive the women in front of us and hear the lamentations and things of this nature.
I talked to a woman yesterday that actually has a physical struggle with her husband over Right Wing World. He lunges to the radio to turn it off because he can't even handle it in the small pre-digested bites that I feed it to him in.
Aww.
And she's like, no, we have to see what they're saying. And he's like, no, we don't. I can't take it. See, we watch so you don't have to.
You can't handle the Right Wing World.
Just take it like a man, for God's sakes. Man up. It's I regurgitated to you like a mama bird, for God's sakes. You don't have to listen to that much. Oh, Steve Ducey, I apologize.
Are Democrats waging their own war on Christmas to make sure Santa delivers everything on their wish list? Harry Reid now warning Republicans like this.
They decide to work with us. We can all have a happy holiday. If they don't, we're going to continue till we finish the people's business.
Yes.
And he says if they don't finish, we're facing a government shutdown. What will that do to the country? Details in moments.
By Republicans.
Yes.
By point. Our side.
Right. Minor point.
Wow.
our side might shut down the government, and that makes him a bad man.
Wow. Okay. Harry Reid
forced us to.
All right, let's have some Dick for dessert. Dick Morris on O'Reilly.
Is he a socialist? Is he a left-wing
ideologue? Do you say he's a socialist?
Yes. Yes.
You do?
Yes. Yes.
So you believe
yes.
in his heart that, yes. that he wants to seize private property?
Yes.
Seize
yes.
it.
He wants to, the way you do it now is you don't seize it, you control it. You have a state-controlled operation that dominates the private sector. Philip, right. there's a guy who thinks he's going to stimulate the economy by spending all this money. Thinks it's going to be good for people to redistribute income. Uh-huh. Thinks by raising uh-huh. taxes on the rich he can stimulate spending. He is either stupid or a socialist.
Yes.
No, it's how you pay for spending is to raise taxes on the rich.
Remember when the right wing, the likes of Rush Limbaugh, was like, the president, he's a government takeover. He wants to own the car companies, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't the car companies, he just give them back because he always said, I don't want to run own a car company.
Right.
And they're
and
making money now and paid us
successful
back.
Successful now.
Wasn't that part of the scary part? Ladies and gentlemen, this is part of the government takeover. He wants to own everything, car companies and the bank. By the way, which started under Bush. Bush did the auto bailout. And TARP.
And we didn't nationalize a single industry.
Nope.
And healthcare reform was a big taxpayer giveaway to private industry.
Yep.
So it's actually the opposite of socialism.
Bob in Syracuse is a Tea Party member. Hello, Bob.
Hi, how's it going today?
Good.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I think you guys, I just tuned in your show not too long ago, I'm amazed. Hey, no, you guys are awesome.
Thanks.
I mean, you're everything that I think, so. The question
Everything that you
today,
think? What does that mean?
Well, just when you talk about the Republicans and how they bash the Dems, and not that the Dems are perfect by any means, but they're so much better than any Republican I've ever met, so.
We were told you were a Tea Partier.
Oh, no, I'm not a total Tea Partier.
Oh.
Drinking coffee.
Oh. We got bad intel, just like Runny.
Wow.
Oh,
that was an incorrect WikiLeak we got about you. Hang on one second. We'll take your call after the break. Hang on. All right. 29. Miranda's drunk already. She was face down in the eggnog when I just went to the bathroom.
She was actually a Kathy Griffin last night.
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly. She's drunk. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can't believe there is a real Santa.
So that year I got a vibrator from Santa? That was really from Santa?
Noel Coward?
What was that from?
Yeah, Noel Coward, exactly.
I saw Mommy bleeping Santa Claus.
Oh, boy. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Bob in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bob.
I am your biggest fan, and I have a coworker who is a teabagger, so we fight every day.
Yay, for fighting.
Yesterday I said, how can you be so bloodless as to cut off the 9/11 first responders?
Yeah.
And he said, well, we want Obama to spend that slush fund he's got, that half of his surplus,
Huh? Oh, that giant surplus money that George Bush left us.
What? No, the stimulus money he's referring to.
Oh, that slush fund.
Right, because there is no more surplus because the rich got it in tax cuts.
Yes, all right.
What can I tell him before I hit him?
No hitting. No hitting. It's Christmas. Don't be a jerk. It's Christmas, according to
Bob. Ask him to defend Bush's tax policy. I mean...
Yeah, by the way,
caused it?
Don Imus was questioning, Thune, the Republican of South Dakota, pretty aggressively.
Johnson,
God bless him. He said, Imus, it seems to me, to others, that if we're going to help anybody, we certainly should help these Americans who were first responders to 9/11. Thune, well, the difference, I think, is the tax bill, there's a deadline. Imus said, I know there's a deadline on the tax situation. There's also a deadline on the health of these firemen and police officers. Case in point, Joe Picuro, a 9/11 volunteer who was central to the push for health care assistance, who himself suffered for years with little or no health care, passed away. He volunteered to cut steel at Ground Zero more than 9 years ago. It cost him his life Friday morning, according to the Daily News. So,
and it was George Bush's EPA that was telling him it was fine.
That was perfectly safe.
Midtown.
With Jersey's
with
former
no
governor
masks
in charge.
Uh-huh.
And you know, again, John Thune is a guy who I think is going to be possibly the man to beat in 2012. It could very well be a Thune, a Rubio candidacy going up against Obama. And these are the same people who, you know, wave 9/11 in our face so hard, but apparently Frank Luntz told them it's not testing well anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Michael in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
How's it going? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just have a quick comment regarding the tax cut and the poor. And I understand that the Republicans are against the poor, and I hate them with a passion every single day I wake up in the morning. It actually makes
me
feel
Christmas
good.
Time.
All right, but at the same time, I guess you could say I used to be maybe definitely not poverty poor, but definitely poor. And one thing that really disappoints me is whether it's Democrats or Republicans, is that, you know, and even radio talk show people, they don't advocate education enough for the poor, because that is the only way. The Republicans aren't going to get the poor out of poverty. It's going to be education.
Yeah.
I took out loans up to $100,000 throughout my life just to put myself through school, and it was worth it.
Yeah.
I think it's very incumbent that if you are, you know, poor or whatever the case, whatever phrase you want to use, that no matter what you do, you put education.
Yeah. Oh no. Michael, you probably saw these rankings that came out, and it really is a disgrace as Americans how far down we are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a nation of children that are still going to cheat off the Asian kids because they're obviously.
But that's what they want.
That's exactly what they want.
Yes.
They want it.
They want obedient consumer serfs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
As a small business person, I am now, fortunately, a little well off than other people. And the way that I like to help out the poor, I don't mind helping out at all, is by putting some unfortunate kids through school, because that's the only way this is going to work.
Michael,
like I said, I don't mind helping out the poor, but at the same time, I think that the concept of self-responsibility must be pushed just a little more. Because
thing you can do for your education is never miss another minute of the Stephanie Miller Show, because we had a great conversation about this with Rob Reiner, who you know, is brilliant about education. And also I talked about, from my perspective, my best friend is a psychologist in a maximum security prison here in California. And she talks about that, that education is one of the key things. I mean, we have a 70% recidivism rate in our prisons. Our new attorney general has been talking about it, that, you know, what do you think in this economy? It's hard enough for normal people to get jobs if you've had you have a prison record, and then you try. So what happens? They end up right back in prison again. It's a huge circular problem. Bob in Syracuse, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Back.
Bob.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Oh, there you go. Hi, Bob.
What I'd like to ask you guys, there's got to be a reason why they don't. But why don't the Democrats be a little bit more like the Republicans when they're running, of course, that they just bash us like crazy? The Dems have so much ammo that they could use to highlight how the Republicans are more for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's simple. They run on a ticket for not raising taxes and everything.
Ward pulls a great Democratic ad out of his ass every other day that's in with virtually no preparation of any kind.
How about the fact that they could go on the storyline of every time a Democrat's in the office, the things they have to argue about, of course, is, you know, tax and spend. Well, that's because we've always got to get clean. We got to clean up what the Republicans did.
Mm-hmm,
and
exactly.
So we have to clean that up before we could even start doing our own agenda.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
see.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I want to see more ads like the Jerry Brown ran against Chris, what's her face?
Meg Whitman.
Meg, yeah.
see how well he did. You can't even remember who he ran against.
I was still thinking of Christy Todd Whitless, you know, the EPA thing. But,
yeah, so,
But they just use their own words against
them. I'm sorry. Every time the Republicans run, they can go on, this is what the Dems had to do. They had to tax and spend. They had to we had to clean it up. And then people get upset.
Why are you blaming Bush? Why are you blaming Bush?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And the question is, when someone says, why are you blaming Bush, you got to say to them, why aren't you blaming Bush, Republicans? This guy betrayed everything that being a conservative stands for.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is a difference in just living in the past and in making a constructive point that is based on policies that have always already proved to be disastrous. I mean, that's... Okay. Bernice in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Bernice.
Good morning. I haven't talked to you in forever.
Yes, go ahead.
I really would like to encourage people to call their senators, just the Senate, to talk to them to pass the DREAM Act, because along with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, because both of those are up possibly for a vote tomorrow.
Yep.
And it's so important. There are so many kids in this country. Just last week, a boy who is 21 now, he came when he was 9 months old, never been to Mexico because he couldn't. He had no papers.
Yep.
And he was arrested. He was thrown into detention, and he'll probably be sent to a country he's never, ever lived in.
Yeah.
And this story happens over and over. And it's, you know, it's a human rights issue. It's a religious issue.
Yeah.
It's a Christian issue.
It's a national security issue. I mean, in the middle, we're still in the midst of two wars, you know, whether we like it or not. And, you know, we can't afford to be turning away anyone that wants to serve, whether it's that kid or a gay person. Oh, by the way, did you hear the scary fear-mongering on Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal? So obviously, yes, it's up tomorrow, the standalone in the Senate.
Yep.
Yes, call everybody you know. Call Joe Manchin, for instance, the Democrat who's...
Yeah, I don't think he's going to.
Said he was too new in the Senate. It's too... Yeah, he doesn't understand what... anyway, the House voted to approve the standalone measure. These are the Representative Duncan Hunter, Republican of California, spoke out against overturning Don't Ask, Don't Tell, saying the military isn't the YMCA. I don't know what that
means. What does that mean?
I don't even know what that means.
I got a Conservative Action Alert email saying that they want to homosexualize the military.
Oh!
I've been homosexualized!
Awesome. I got news for them.
Is that like texture coding?
I got news for them. There are already homosexuals in the military.
What?
Someone get me a sea breeze.
Well, in the Navy, we know.
Representative John Fleming, Republican of Louisiana, warned that ending the policy would, quote, drop the bomb of social experimentation.
You mean
the military.
Like experimenting with having black people serve with whites? Yeah.
That's dropped a bomb on me. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
and Liars, by the way, has the phone numbers of every Democrat who's against the DREAM Act for you to call today. So I recommend checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the bomb we need to be worried about in the military. The bomb of...
The gay bomb.
Socialists, the gay bomb. Dropping a big gay bomb on the military. The gay bomb of social experimentation.
Again, you got to pick one of our allies that lets gays serve where it's been a problem.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't hear these people complaining about sexual assaults against women in our military ever, and that is a real problem.
All right, but the pole vault of logic goes to Representative Louie Gohmert of Texas, Republican of Texas, saying it will be the end of existence.
What?
Kaboom!
Golly!
Not a Russian nuke. No, a gay bomb.
Surprise! Surprise! Surprise!
He suggested the countries with open services were near the end of their existence.
What?
Oh, like Israel?
Yes.
Like Great Britain?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Saying that homosexuals... Someone told the Queen?
Good heavens!
What? Saying that homosexuality could be tolerated if gay people could control their hormones. He said when militaries throughout history of the greatest nations in the world have adopted the policy that it's fine for homosexuality to be overt, you can keep it private and control your hormones fine. If you can't, that's fine, too. They're toward the end of their existence as a great nation.
Sparta.
Oh. Well, I guess the Spartans.
Yeah. They were very open about it.
The Spartans were the baddest army ever, and those guys just went to an island and had sex with each other for months and months, came back to the mainland, impregnated the wives, went back and had more sex, and they made a great movie with Jeff Stryker called The 300, I recommend.
That pretty much was the gayest movie ever made.
It's the gayest. The movie was so gay, I came out to my parents after I saw it. And they were the toughest, meanest, fiercest army of all time.
Yes. They dined in hell.
They,
Okay. And then a lot of them echoed, what's his name? Colonel Jessup. What's his name? I always forget it. General Amos. That guy.
You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that, they, a lot of them echoed that he said he was against it. So that's because he said that he doesn't want the distraction. He doesn't want dead Marines and legless Marines because they're distracted.
How about getting out of Iraq and Afghanistan completely if you don't want any legless
Marines?
That would
remove a big distraction.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. John, we've been saying all week, though, it just is kind of hilarious that that's when he thinks, you know, in the middle of a firefight is when the gay guys are going to pick to start acting really gay.
I know.
Ah,
you know, as long
here.
As our lives are at risk, as long as we're not going anyplace, mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's so absurd. I mean, as Chris pointed out, there are gay people in the military. There have always been gay people in the military, and they want to serve. And you know what? The brave gay men and women who want to serve this country are the real patriots,
yep.
And the conservatives who want to deny them that privilege are the real fags.
Oh.
Don't forget it.
Yes!
Yeah, I said it. It's true. They're limp-wristed, cowardly
pansies. We don't normally
pansies.
Allow that word on this show,
well,
but
sorry, but I'm
going to
say
can't...
it against Louis Gomer. These people are pansies. They
all
are
right.
not patriots.
Yes!
They are limp-wristed flaggots.
He knows he's in New York. I can't reach him. Stop mm-hmm. it! 45
he
minutes.
Didn't, he didn't say.
I'm going to call him Gomert Pyle from now on.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What better song to sing than Jingle Bells? But I'd like to do that version performed so many years ago by that fabulous group, the Singing Dogs. Hit it, boys!
Woof, 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 woof,
Richard Cheese?
Yes, it is.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Fromage.
I got my friend a farting dog Christmas card. I love the little cards that do the Christmas songs, don't you? There was one with kitties. Merry Christmas. Okay. All right, we'll do the request. Somebody in the live blog wants to do Chris.
In the chat room.
In the chat room wants mm-hmm. to do Chris and Jim doing Laura Ingraham singing.
A Christmas song.
Little
yes.
Town.
Okay.
A
little town of Bethlehem has still we see the light above thy dimmest
I don't think a real voice is that sexy, guys.
Right, and scene. Okay. I think that's... apologize.
This is the sophisticated liberal side of the argument.
That's right.
Snooty liberals over here.
Uh-huh.
Ernie in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ernie.
Elitist.
I think I just peed a little bit.
That's all right.
That's hilarious. If I weren't an atheist before, I am now. Anyway, I was talking about the Fox News hypocrisy about their war.
Which
on
one?
Christmas. Well, their war on Christmas.
Yes.
Their broadcast station has these wonderful shows called Family Guy and American Dad. You
right.
may have heard of them. And they had these horribly dark Christmas episodes where they killed Santa, and they actually had Santa as a terrorist with rabid reindeer out to kill everybody. And I just think, you know, what's the point, guys? Make up your mind. Either you're for it or you're against it or, you know, and I know they're two separate entities, but please.
They are.
Anything with the name Fox on it.
Yep, exactly, exactly.
Well, it's actually a very good point because, you know, we don't know if Bill O'Reilly really means all this stuff about the war on Christmas because he was selling Happy Holidays tree ornaments 10
yeah.
years ago on
right.
his website. However, I think it's a great, great thing to talk with your conservative friends about because if you really want to know who the bad guy is with war on Christmas, it's capitalism. It's evil capitalist businesses who commit the sin of not wanting to offend their non-Christian customers.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. If you believe in capitalism, you believe in not alienating your customers who don't celebrate Christmas.
We here at the Stephanie Miller Show struck a blow against capitalism. Why? We just canceled Christmas. We're too lazy and too cheap. We're like, let's not get each other anything, okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All last week, we're like, yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, good. No, I think that was your decree. I was getting ready to get you something.
No, screw it. We're all broken. Lazy. Mike and Racine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie. I work with a lot of high school kids. Some are undocumented. Kids with great grade point averages, and we're fighting for the DREAM Act. And I just want to describe the Paul Ryan's our congressman, and we were demonstrating at his office, and they called him in Washington. used to support the DREAM Act. Some of our sisters from town, Dominican sisters, went to him, and he was supportive, and now he's against it because he feels it should be part of a comprehensive immigration reform. Well, he's been in Congress for 12 years. Where was the immigration reform?
Yeah, they're working very, very hard on comprehensive immigration reform, I'm sure. Hmm.
Keep in mind, Reagan gave amnesty blanket. He just gave amnesty out. This is actually making people work for a path to citizenship, so the DREAM Act is more conservative than Ronald Reagan. Period.
Yeah, exactly. As is, by the way, the START Treaty is, of course, it could be probably a little too liberal for Reagan. It received a huge boost, though. Two-thirds supported the voting Senate on the motion to proceed to debate. While only 51 votes were needed to begin debate, the vote demonstrates Republicans are divided on the treaty. It has enough support to achieve ratification. The supermajority also serves as a significant blow to right-wing asshat Jim DeMint,
mm-hmm.
who was forced to back down from making the Senate to read the entire text. I mean, that should offend the American people with the situation we're in, and this is our national, our national security, literally.
Right.
And they've had this for 8 months, this bill. I mean, if that's not a stupid stunt to waste, the Senate's time and America's time having the clerk read it, it's just to try to run out the clock. So the president, and how that became a win for the president and not for the American people to ratify a nuclear treaty that every major living Republican, president, secretary of defense, secretary of state ever says we should ratify immediately is beyond my... Ugh. All right.
It's a weakness.
Anyway, all right. And then Harry Reid, obviously incredibly frustrated on the omnibus spending bill. It's just a giant... Yeah, it really is.
Right-wing hypocrites!
yes. He said, we have a constitutional duty to do congressionally directed spending, and I don't want to give up that responsibility. I can't understand why some of our more conservative members want to give up their power. I don't understand that. Well, they don't. They put your marks in, and they could have requested to take their individual earmarks out. But no, because this just has to be a win for them politically. They just want to vote against the bill.
Yep.
They agreed. They had agreed to this earmark ban. So far, no Republican has requested, not one, to have his or her own personal earmarks removed from the bill. They say voting against it will suffice. Harry Reid yesterday.
If you went to H in the dictionary and found hypocrite, under that would be people who ask for earmarks but vote against them.
Yeah.
Oh, he's mad.
He's angry.
I'm steamed. Exactly.
I can't accept the fact that people are saying, why should we vote for this? It's got congressionally directed spending in it. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do.
That's what Christine Romans was saying.
Yep.
He said, I don't want to give up more power to the White House, whether it's George Bush or Barack Obama, and I'm going to fight as hard as I can to fight against President Obama on these earmarks and my Republican colleagues who hate to vote for them but love to get them.
I'm sorry you had to see me like this.
I mean, that bill had so much pork, the Jews and the Muslims are on the same side now.
Oh, by the way, have we played our Meat Dreidel song for our Jewish... have we even said Happy Hanukkah?
I made it out of non-pork meat.
Yes.
My Christmas Hanukkah's a good dreidel. Can you feel its kosher heat?
Mm-hmm.
My non-pork dreidel's so yummy. I put it in my mouth. I can feel it in my tummy. I think it's heading south.
Oops.
Oh, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel.
Yes.
I made you out of meat.
Mm.
Dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. You'll soon come out my seat.
Thank you.
Never
we
again.
Did. We totally missed our say Happy Hanukkah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
To our Jewish listeners, we apologize. But we lump it in Chris Mahana
Kwanzaa. They've left already.
Chris Mahana Kwanzaa. Yeah.
After that song, they left.
Yeah.
By the way, Harry Reid did say yesterday, and this is, for Harry Reid, this is his good, bad, and the ugly moment. He said, we are in session, if necessary, up to January 5th. I hope that's not necessary, but that's the clock my Republican colleagues have to run out. It's a long clock. He's got a long clock, Jim.
Beg your pardon? Sorry.
He's not afraid to use it. He's going to whip it out if he has to. January 5th. You heard him.
Is he going to remain Senate leader?
I don't know.
Yes, he is.
58. I wish he had a little more forceful personality.
Yeah. Sorry you had to see me like this. I so rarely get steamed.
For the Ted Kennedy barn burners.
Yeah.
I miss them. Mm-hmm. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Last hour before vacation. 6 minutes after the hour.
Yay! For some of us.
Oh, you. That's right, Cinderella. You're here running best of for 3 more hours. Oh, well.
Yep.
Jim and I will be at the bar. 1-800-STEPH12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hal Sparks fills in for us next week, and then the following week will be a delightful year in review best of for New Year's week. Oh, heavens. All right. And John Fugelsang, of course, in the New York Bureau for Fridays
Indeed.
With Fugelsang.
Yay!
As usual. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Oh, by the way, don't forget, come, if you were here in L.A., come spin with Mom at YAS. That's yoga and spinning. Go to YAS, the number two, go to YAS.com.
Can you do yoga and spinning at the same time?
No!
That'd be a trick.
You could do either yoga or spinning, or they have a class that's a half hour of each, which is also delightful. They have locations over the place.
If you watch the Strangers on a Treadmill episode of Modern Family, you'd see that they invented yoga and treadmill at the same time.
And magically full circle, I ran into Eric Stone Street from Modern Family last night.
That's right.
Who used to do skits on one of my canceled television shows, and I didn't even know that. One of the people that's gone on to much, much bigger success than I have.
Boy, he made an impression on you, didn't he? Or did you just not talk to the little people back then?
I did. He wasn't there live. They used to roll in these little skits,
okay.
And he apparently was in them.
Oh.
And now he's where he is, and I'm where I am.
And now you're one of the little people.
Thank God for Jenny Cream Ale, who turns 50 today. Tommy in Columbus, Jenny Cream Ale, the beer of Mama's youth in Lockport, New York, is 50. Happy birthday.
The malted liquor, what gets you drunk or quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it. Makes me think I'm a man.
Yes.
Beer! I could kiss and hug it.
Beer!
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer!
Cut my belly out to here.
Ah.
Beer! I could not refuse it.
Beer!
I could really use a beer. Beer! Beer!
All right, and we like being alerted also to funny websites, to people, and pets doing funny things. Somebody mentioned this earlier, but it is hilarious. I've looked through the whole... how often have you seen a parking job that made you think the driver was selfish, obnoxious, or unquestionable hallucinogenic drugs? A new site has called You Park Like a Hole is dedicated to cataloging every single one of these heads on wheels. You can even download a notice and place it on the car's windshield informing the car's owner of their... pole status, as well as tips to improve their poor parking techniques. It's time to put an end to pole parking, or at least make fun of it more consistently. And there's a bunch of photographs of people that are taking up two handicap spaces.
Yeah. I hate it when people park diagonally in two spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah. They say it's to keep people from denting their car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or people in L.A., I don't know if it's because a lot of people here are very skinny because, you know, they're actors, models, whatever.
There are a lot of fat people, too.
But they wedge the car in. They think that you can get out with, like, 3 inches of space.
Yeah.
That you can just, like you slide out of your...
Well, that, Stephanie, that comes from people like you parking your SUV in a compact space.
Yeah. I beg your pardon.
Seriously.
I have never done that. Harumph.
Uh-huh.
I love it when people just sort of miss the lines altogether and then cause a domino effect.
Yeah.
So everyone has to park.
Yeah.
And then they blame you if this...
Look how you park. No, you... Before
no,
I...
No. I'm in the lines. You are not.
By the way... The thing I just said about I've never parked my SUV in a compact space, I've never turned this on myself. But
you're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah.
How many doors have you dinged with your giant...
I beg your pardon, I have not. Could I have some music? It is time to announce
what kind of music?
I don't know. 2010 what? Darwin Awards. Something festive. Because it's a... you know, it's a... The 2010 Darwin Awards for stupidity. There must be a... kind of sad, and yet the gene pool has been thinned. In Detroit, a 41-year-old man got stuck and drowned in 2 feet of water after squeezing headfirst through an 18-inch wide sewer grate to retrieve his car keys.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Sad.
A San Francisco stockbroker who totally zoned out when he ran accidentally jogged off a 100-foot cliff on his debut run. This one, I believe I've heard of. This is a third place
Ironically,
I've heard of.
Ironically, he's doing it for his health.
Yes. This one I've heard of after for our gun-loving friends. After stepping around a marked police patrol car parked in the front door, a man walked into a firearm store intent on robbing it. The shop was full of customers and a uniformed officer who was standing at the counter. Upon seeing the officer, the would-be robber announced, "Hold up," fired a few wild shots from a target pistol. The officer and a clerk promptly returned fire. Several customers also drew their guns and fired. Crime scene investigators located 47 expended cartridge cases in the shop. The subsequent autopsy revealed 23 gunshot wounds. Ballistics identified rounds from 7 different weapons. No one else was hurt.
Wow. That's a Republican nirvana right there.
Yeah.
Okay, and the winner is, oh dear, zookeeper Friedrich Reinsfeld, Germany, fed his constipated elephant 22 doses of animal laxative and more than a bushel of berries, figs, and prunes before the plugged-up pachyderm finally got relief. Friedrich was attempting to give the elephant an olive oil enema when the relieved beast unloaded. The sheer force of the elephant's unexpected defecation knocked Mr. Reinsfeld to the ground, where he struck his head on a rock as the elephant continued to evacuate 200 pounds of dung on top of him.
That's not how he envisioned his life, I imagine.
No. You know, am I the only one who doesn't find the Darwin Awards funny?
No, not funny. It is kind of a happens kind of story, but it's I don't like it because he was clearly an animal lover. Because you know, you'd have to be.
If he lived, it'd be hilarious.
You have to be to give an elephant olive oil enema.
It's just been a bad year, bad economy. I'm just trying to make people feel better.
Couldn't you do it from a distance with some kind of
something, some sort of implement,
like a stick?
That's what's if someone, you know, one of our progressive helper listeners would invent an elephant enema stick or something,
whatever,
something to give an elephant an enema with at a distance, from a distance,
from a distance.
As Bette Midler would say.
Yes,
a garden hose.
Get to work on it. Okay.
Yeah, a garden hose.
You know, we were talking about education earlier, and you know, Mama, a big fan of the teachers and also a big union supporter. However, some teachers should be fired is all I'm saying.
You're not a big fan of the children, though.
No. A male teacher...
Schools would be so much better without the kids.
Yeah.
I wrinkled my nose up like I was giving an elephant enema. I was like, no.
No.
Okay. A male teacher who told two teenage girl pupils his tie was, quote, an arrow pointing to my big penis. Has been guilty. Maybe, maybe
fired.
That guy. And then last week, an unnamed teacher was disciplined after she accidentally played porn to her class of 10-year-olds.
You're fired.
Okay.
I know someone who did that. They were demonstrating the internet. She was demonstrating the internet to a bunch of school kids. Let's just type in, I don't know, XXX. And and she tried furiously to make it go away, but it just got worse.
Yeah, it probably got stuck in one of those pop-up porn loops.
Delete.
How would you know about that?
What?
What?
No.
I've accidentally typed in XXX.
Okay. Let's, can I have my love story music? I was saying I end the year, I start the holiday season here. It's a season of bipartisan hope. Why? Because I went to my friend Larry King's farewell party last night. Fancy party here in Beverly Hills at Spago. And I had a love trifecta with Ted Olson. I had loving conversations and played a little touchy-feely with, Ted Olson, Larry Elder.
He's married.
And, Ben Stein.
Ben Stein?
Who wrote this? It's a compliment in Ben Stein. This is the only time anything even vaguely kind about me has been said in the American Spectator.
Absolutely.
He wrote a tribute to his friend Long Live Larry King by Ben Stein. Goodbye, Larry King, at least for a short while. The few times I was on his show long ago were with angry women leftist comedians who specialized in hit-and-run attacks. The experiences were dismaying. But in the last 3 years, my experiences on his shows were dramatically better. He still had the angry women leftists, but he kept them on subject, and occasionally one of them, Stephanie Miller, landed devastatingly accurate punches at my beloved GOP. I guess I'm still an angry woman leftist, I guess, but... They can throw a punch.
He's one he can deal with. You're one he can deal with.
We love each other. Yeah. Well, he's an honest conservative. At least, you know, he can admit Sarah Palin's not qualified to be president, and he has some reasonable positions that you can actually have a reasonable discussion about. So that gave me hope for America, so I'm just saying.
He has clear eyes.
But did he give you any of Ben Stein's money?
No, and I asked yet again.
I'm sure.
Oh, I talked to Dr. Drew there too, who's getting a new show on CNN, and someone asked me if he invited me to to be on a Celebrity Rehab.
Yes,
he did not.
Computer says no.
Because you're often drunk.
No.
You're drunk right now.
What? Yes. Well, it's our pre-vacation holiday show. All right. So lots to get to. The omnibus spending bill, obviously. Harry Reid had to abandon the bill, so what's the deal? They've done a stopgap measure.
They haven't done it yet, but they're probably going to do one that'll, you know, push things off to February when the Republicans are in charge.
The Republicans packed it full of pork and then was like, ah, we're not voting for this porky bill. Dick Durbin yesterday.
The speed reading course so that they can sit down and read these bills. It turns out that their fingers get smudgy and their lips get tired if you have more than 100 pages on a bill.
Well, okay, Stephanie, to be fair,
yes.
Democrats filled it with pork, too.
Okay. Well, yes, but, at least they're not being hypocritical. Harry Reid has said we should have the constitutional right to direct this kind of spending. Yes. And by the way, a lot of Republicans think that, too. I mean, are you kidding me? Rand Paul did the fastest flip-flop in history.
Right.
On here,
but I'm just saying it's not just the Republicans that filled
it. No, but they're the ones that, rather than just, they simply could request their earmarks to be removed. They voted
You're
against
right,
the whole bill. They just wanted it to be another no to the president. They wanted it to be another, you know, I mean, in DeMint, of course, threatening to have that read too out loud, install things. Dick Durbin.
Many of the same senators who are criticizing congressionally directed spending or earmarks have earmarks in the bill. That is the height of hypocrisy. To stand up and request an earmark, have it included in the bill, and then fold your arms and piously announce, I'm against earmarks.
Yeah. And in the stupid stunt of reading the bill, this is your job. This is what we're paying you for.
Yeah.
I mean, it is beyond comprehension. They have had these bills for months. I mean, who are they kidding? They've had the START treaty for 8 months. John Kerry on the...
Have the clerk up here just reading the bill. Now, there's an act of stunning responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. Like wasting Americans' time when there's so much important stuff that, and literally critical stuff about national security that has to get done. Mitch McLiplis.
They want to ram this gigantic trillion-dollar bill through Congress, and they're using once again the Christmas break as an inducement to vote for it.
Harry I'm sure Reed there was no pork for Kentucky in there.
Yes, the Grinch is Harry Reid is the Grinch who's trying to steal their Christmas.
They're who hash.
Yes, exactly.
Kentucky pork is covered in hot brown.
Well, all right. And right-wing ass at John Kyle, the Republican
members
Arizona.
Have very little time and very little ability to change the legislation that's before us.
One more thing that's moving too fast for Yertle, Jim. Just everything is such a blur to him.
Stop moving so fast. I can't quite keep up. Slow and steady wins the race.
Okay,
can
18.
I have some lettuce, please?
18 minutes after the
he
hour.
He needs to be putting his terrarium
yes, to rest. 18 minutes after, just because it's Christmas and I'm feeling, you know, magnanimous, I will have Jim sing. This is what it sounds like when turtles cry when we return, because Mitch McConnell did cry this week. All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, the whole thing seems a little twisted to me.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You sure look good to me.
Yeah, as far as I can see.
I haven't had a drink this morning, but I'm all lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Tommy in Palm Springs. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hope you all have great holidays.
Thank
and
you.
I'm looking forward to Hal next week.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wanted to know, so did you share your highly coveted recipes with Wolfgang?
Yes, I met Wolfgang Puck last night at his restaurant, Spago. Yes, and I did.
Your shake and bake chicken mm-hmm. and your sauerkraut recipe?
Yes, I made him sit and listen.
That's terrible.
It's actually, I felt like I was in a binge purge cycle. I was talking to Wolfgang Puck and then Jenny Craig, so I didn't... I didn't know whether to live, laugh, eat, or...
Are we looking forward to seeing those on his next menu?
Yes, exactly. Thank you, Tommy. Yes. That's exactly he asked for it. He said, what's this I hear about your sauerkraut recipe?
And your homemade shake and bake.
I stole it from my own. The Wolfgang Puck sauerkraut recipe.
Marion
and
Barry's.
And a Grey Goose and Klonopin smoothie.
Yeah.
Marion Barry's car was stolen in Southeast D.C. He left the keys in the ignition. I'm guessing that some bitch set him up.
Yeah,
I got to that joke first. Yes. You know, there's times I feel like Jim breathing down my neck. I have to hurry and get to the joke because I know he's going to beat me there.
You know how some news sites, you know, they have sections where you can leave comments?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what the first comment on that story was?
Bitch set him up.
Exactly. Yeah. So someone beat you to it.
Yeah. I was like, I almost stumbled through the setup just to get to it because you could tell where I was going.
Marion, very bitch, shut him up.
You could hear the thundering hooves as
right.
I was. And then Jim and I just sort of collided. I don't get it. Jim.
He's never going to live that down.
No.
Jim, what's the most important thing about comedy?
Timing.
Again. Okay.
Timing.
Thank you. By the way, we reported this yesterday, the breaking news. Capitol Hill police arrested an armed man yesterday.
Yeah.
He had arms?
Yes.
Near Capitol Hill. They sent out...
They don't arrest armless men very often.
They sent out announcements offering staffers to telling staffers to stay in their offices and lock the door until they... And then they gave them the all clear.
But that's why Representative Earl Blumenauer couldn't be with us yesterday,
right,
because
know.
Capitol Hill was under lockdown.
I think it was just another Republican stunt to delay and, you know. All right. And I'm guessing it made John Boehner cry.
You can't put it on lockdown.
What's going on?
It's almost Christmas. I need a
By
cigarette.
The way, so you know they've been playing all these man crying clips on TV. Have you seen them? Jim, did you see the Ed Muskie one? He doesn't seem like he's crying to me.
Well, he's in the middle of a driving snowstorm.
Yeah.
So it could be
he's blinking.
Snow from his eyes, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. No, but it, compared to Boehner's blubbering,
right.
He doesn't seem like he's like there's a lot.
But Lucianne Goldberg was part of that now, trying to set him up for that.
Yeah,
she was pretending to be a journalist.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Oh, Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal was hit with another recall petition yesterday, his fifth in just 2 years in office.
Wow.
An independent voter filed the recall document seeking his removal because of his cuts to higher education and health care programs. What can he do? Maybe exercise the demons out of that voter.
He could run on that in Alabama and win.
Yeah, absolutely.
You could throw him in a volcano without warning him.
The other breaking news, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, fighting extradition to Sweden over alleged sex crimes, walked free on bail from British jail after protesting his innocence and pledging to continue exposing official secrets. By the way, when I was on Joy Behar, right-wing whack woman kept screaming at me, he was a serial rapist, a serial rapist. Rush Limbaugh called him a serial. It's like, what?
No.
Didn't the condom break?
The condom broke. That
was
it.
That's not some rumor, right? That's the story,
well,
isn't
well,
it?
Well, that's according to some stories. There are some stories that he...
That is the law in Sweden, though.
Well, yes, that is the law in Sweden. But there are some stories that she originally said yes, then in the middle of it she changed her mind, and he kept going, and so...
Still, it certainly started out as consensual sex. No one has denied that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
he
no
and his
one's
lawyer...
outraged...
Go ahead, John.
Oh, just no one's outraged that Afghanistan is a mess. They're outraged that someone leaked
right.
the truth about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Assange and his lawyers have voiced fears that U.S. prosecutors might be preparing to indict him for espionage. Yeah, a lot of right-wingers screaming treason, but until he had to point out to them he's not a United States citizen,
right.
So he might need to find another.
And Afghanistan is a disaster. We're propping up a corrupt regime.
All right, we will talk about that and the tax cut deal next, 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Screw Santa. Let's have some fun.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, I almost forgot, and I promised as an early Christmas gift. Mitch McConnell did join his friend the Boehner in a little crying jag this week. What was he crying about? I don't even remember now. Mitch McLipless. Something. He was bawling on the... Which led us, for some reason, yesterday to when turtles cry. Jim.
Take, if you will, a picture of you and I engaged in a kiss.
Ew!
Ew!
The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this?
How can you kiss with no lips?
That's very difficult. It takes a lot of practice. Dream, if you can, a courtyard, an ocean of violets in bloom. Turtles strike curious poses. They feel the heat between me and you.
Can you just do the...
Maybe I'm just like my father. I'm too bold. Maybe you're just like my mother. She's never satisfied.
Okay, all thank right. you, Jim. All right. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, we've had requests for that, believe it or not, John.
I don't know. What's happening? We're starting. The wheels are coming off this bus.
Yeah.
Right before vacation. All right, a little bit about celebrity stack. Oh, thank God I wanted to know this. Nicole Richie didn't invite Paris Hilton to her wedding because she only wanted to have guests who care about her.
Ooh,
she should not be BFFs anymore. Her dad, Lionel Richie, though, was delighted by the couple's union. I dare to say he was even dancing on the ceiling.
Ah!
I love this song. I just needed an excuse to play it. I love it.
Really?
All right.
You love this song.
Mm-hmm. Always have. Always will. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. All right. D-listed also writing, Winona Ryder has always known that Mel Gibson is an anti-Semitic, homophobic hole. She said, I remember like 15 years ago, I was at one of these big Hollywood parties, and he was really drunk, and I was with my friend who's gay. He made a really horrible gay joke, and somehow it came up that I was Jewish. He said something about oven dodgers, but I didn't get it.
Wow.
I never heard that before. It was just this weird, weird moment. I was like, he's anti-Semitic and he's homophobic. No one believed me. D-listed writing, just like the time no one believed her when she said that she had no idea how that cashmere scarf ended up in the bottom
of
her bag.
Stop it.
I believe her, and the world would be a much better place if we all believe her from now on. God bless us, everyone. Those pictures, she did look like the Grinch's dog. She just had like a giant sled pack of stuff she was stealing out of Saks or wherever. What? Excuse me. All
right. That's sexy.
Jerry Hall says that she had an epiphany to become a model after taking LSD. I don't...
Okay.
I don't...
What about to be an actress?
Yeah.
Was that mescaline?
What was that excuse?
That must have been mescaline.
Mescaline.
John, we think the people that came up with the Cialis commercials were on LSD. What do you think?
Oh, no. Don't you have two tubs in your backyard?
But I don't understand how all the whole brainstorming sessions went for those.
If your acid trip lasts more than 4 hours.
What's really sad is that, you know, I just had my first experience of having a guy I know acting in a Cialis commercial.
Oh.
And this guy I did a movie with, and there he is with those dead eyes just saying, ask your doctor if you're healthy enough for sexual activity. I studied Shakespeare and Chekhov and Ibsen.
Look what I'm doing. Is he the new guy? He's cute.
He did one a while ago. This guy's a terrific actor, and it was just so sad. What do you say to a guy that you know in a Viagra
actually,
in a Cialis commercial?
I know two of the Viagra guys.
And
actually,
they're always very quick to say that they're just acting.
Yes, I'm
acting.
Of course. No.
Well, you were very convincing. I'm not that good an actor. It works fine, okay? No, I don't doubt it.
I don't know.
It was a paycheck.
Several
I just
paychecks.
Don't, I find, I don't know, I'm obsessed with those commercials. I find them so puzzling. I don't, it just, the planning session must have
well, that's because
been like,
you've never had low tea.
Dude.
Really interesting.
Dude, and then the walls melt, dude, and like her
she's face, high E.
She looks like a lizard, but then suddenly we're on a cliff
but
and there's a fire.
It's interesting when they're doing the disclaimer, they make them look much older than they actually are. So you can see all the wrinkles on their face. Cause, in other words, it's a subliminal message. Kids, don't try this. You don't need it.
Yes.
An accidental elbow bump.
People.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
An accidental elbow bump while cleaning up the refuse of the homeless drifter you just slaughtered in the basement can turn into a romantic moment.
Okay, one last.
So Dexter doing Cialis.
One last Hollywood story that hits close to home.
Why?
The New Kids on the Block and the Backstreet Boys are bringing their 90s boy band magic to Dick Clark's annual New Year's Eve.
We have a story about a boy band member?
Wow. Another reason.
All
to
I know is it's
going
to get a lot noisier
next
door.
And they're doing Dick Clark. I can't believe those two acts sold out.
Producers say the two groups are. Please don't make my life uncomfortable. Producers say the two groups are mashing up to close out the 2010 on the ABC special. The two bands who have melded their monikers to become NKOTBSB.
Oh no!
Formed together for the first time last month. The supergroup. Like Supertramp, it plans to tour North America next summer.
Sorry, I'm writing a check to the Taliban right now. Can you say that last part again?
So
I'd like to see.
I hope
Backstreet
the rehearsals
Boys.
Aren't going to be next door. Okay.
Ooh. Does this mean
they're all lip synced anyway?
Does this mean we've narrowed down which boy band this boy band member
could
is in?
Could be anybody. Could be anybody in any boy band.
So it's not NSYNC now. We know.
We don't know. Okay. It could be. Oh, well, I suppose we've narrowed that down.
Yes, we have.
Can I just say, if no one in your group plays an instrument and you lip-sync, you're not allowed to call yourself a boy band.
Yeah.
Okay, can we get that clear? I'd like to see Backstreet Boys and New Kids fight to the death and beat each other to death with the members of NSYNC.
Could
that
you
I'd
please
like.
Stop it?
What?
I'm a big fan of both bands. Loretta in St. Petersburg.
Hi.
Hi. Celebrity boy band death match.
But I just wanted to add a little bit about this crime among the Republican men.
Yes.
They just think it works so well for Glenn Beck, they have to work on it. I mean, before that, we never had people crying.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. They're all stealing Glenn Beck's act, I guess. But it's
I think.
It is hilarious with all the right-wing women being the man-up team, right?
Yeah,
all their guys
And then all the crap they say, like when Nancy Pelosi got a little bit emotional. Oh, my God. She wasn't fit for service.
Yeah.
You know? And
I know. Well, Chris and I were talking about this morning off air. We're just going, it's not just weird. It's unprofessional is what it is.
Oh,
we all cry at personal stuff. But, you know, he cries over bills and at things that don't make any sense. It's
it doesn't. No, but then nothing he says makes sense, let's say.
Don't we miss Nixon?
Ooh, can I have some... Ooh, I need some scary music. By the way, we were talking about it's the season of global warming deniers because it's snowing in the East Coast in the winter. And so, you know, a lot of hilarious Sean Hannity jokes. And
right.
Whatever. I saw this in the L.A. Times yesterday, Jim. It's it's the another peril of ice melt. Arctic ice melt may promote crossbreeding, further imperiling endangered animals mating between different species.
Ooh.
Could lead to the extinction of many Arctic animals because hybrid offspring are often less hardy, scientists say. There could be
fertile.
Polar bear and a palin could mate. There could be an actual mama grizzly sort of human-animal hybrid of some sort.
Human-animal hybrids.
As the world heats up,
that's what he was talking about. Oh my God!
Just like that island of Dr. Moreau or something. As the world heats up and polar ice melts, different types of bears, whales, and seals could meet and mate. But these unions may be far from happening, according to researchers. In fact, interspecies sex. This is the dogs and cats living together
right.
that Bill Murray
right,
warned us
exactly.
about in Ghostbusters.
Yes. The crisis of biblical proportions.
Brought on by the melting Arctic ice could lead to the extinction of many endangered Arctic animals. At least 22 species are at risk of hybridizing in 34 different combinations.
Wow.
The pairings include polar bears and grizzlies, narwhals and beluga whales, and various assortments of seals.
Wow.
Although Arctic species rarely interbreed, although you'd think it would happen more because it's cold and, you know, any port in a storm. You know how it is. When you need to snuggle when it's cold, it's like you're not that choosy. In 2006, where's my scary music? A bear with patchy white and brown coat was shot in the Canadian Arctic. Scientists suspected a DNA typing confirmed it was a polar grizzly hybrid known as a pizzly or a growler bear. I swear to God, I'm reading from the scientific journal. It's a pizzly.
It's a pizzly bear?
Did they check his birth certificate?
Or a growler bear? Last year, what appeared to be a hybrid of two whales, a bowhead whale and a right whale, were spotted in the Bering Sea.
That's a wrong whale.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. You'd think they don't have the same size blowholes. It really wouldn't work, but okay. If endangered animals increasingly mate with other species, they could be hybridized out of existence, apparently, according to this new study. Just saying.
Yeah, and the righties are always pointing out that there's the big freeze happening in Europe right now. But that's one thing that was predicted by climate science, that shutting down the conveyor belt, whereby, it's complicated. But, one of the consequences of global warming is potentially a new ice age in northern Europe. I'll explain.
Yeah.
Some other
all right.
Time.
No, it's all right. I'm just waiting for Sarah Palin's reality show for someone to go, look, it's a pizzly. Okay.
It was.
Yeah, it was a pizzly.
Representative Peter DeFazio yesterday. This was getting. This went right up to the to late last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
The tax cut vote.
You're saving the money on the estate tax side. You're saving money by going to making work pay instead of the much more expensive provisions on the Social Security tax holiday.
I know that some were, I know like Ed Schultz, for instance, was rooting for them to, the progressives to fight, which again, none of us like the estate tax thing, but I was like, oh man, I'm telling you, if this deal blew up at the last minute, it would have been a disaster, I think, politically for the president and for Democrats. Anthony Weiner yesterday.
It seems pretty clear the handwriting's on the wall. This is going to pass.
Hmm. And Representative Peter Welch yesterday, a Democrat from Vermont.
We support the president. He, in our view, has done a really solid, good job.
And Mike Pence, right-wing tool of Indiana.
This tax deal coming over from the Senate is a bad deal for taxpayers, and it will do very little to create jobs, and I can't support it.
Yeah, okay. At any rate, the president will sign it probably later this afternoon. Will that be on the TV, Chris?
Well, it depends on what channel.
Okay.
I'm sure they're not going to break into, you know, Days of Our Lives in order to cover it, but...
Sure, they've covered it on Fox.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. 46 minutes after the hour, right back. The waning moments, the waning pre-vacation moments on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And it is waning.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Oh, no. This marks the first time ever that you haven't played Vacation on our last break before vacation. Now we're going to sit here for 2 weeks.
It's Christmas.
Is it okay for us to go? With those people in the forest after World War II. We'll play it at the end of the thing so we know it's
Will
okay
we?
To go. Yeah.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
All right. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Fridays with John Fugelsang. John Fugelsang holding down the fort in New York as usual.
Indeed. We're in the cold, empty New York studio.
Is it still snowing there?
Oh, not anymore, but it's cold. It was 14 degrees yesterday.
Ooh.
Yikes.
The dope fiends are shooting up underneath Snuggies on the corner.
All right, so next week Hal Sparks in for us, and then the year in review best of New Year's week, and then we'll see you back here January 3rd. Woo-hoo!
And Rebecca will be back then.
I know, yeah. And I bet surly as ever.
But we thank Miranda for having
filled
in for her.
Thank you, Miranda Moreno, out there
yeah,
on,
she's awesome.
On phones and drums, yep. Holding down the fort for us. Okay. Ecclesiastical Mook. We have a,
yes,
please take out your organ for me, could you, Chris? Julie in Seattle. Mama, Michael Vick says he wants to get a pet dog someday.
Oh.
Since it's Friday, ask your Jesus-quoting ecclesiastical mook, John Fugelsang, the one who's prettier than 89% of all the women I've ever seen in my entire life, if he thinks redemption is possible for the likes of Mr. Vick.
Well, believe it or not, pit bull fighting appears nowhere in the Old or New Testaments.
Yeah.
But, of course it is. I mean, seriously, you know what? It's easy to hate on Michael Vick, and he did an awful evil thing, but the guy has done more sensitivity training and more drudge work for PETA as part of his release. I mean, we do believe in prison being redemptive, and according to the guy whose birthday people are pretending to celebrate, no one's beyond redemption. So, yes, I do, and I think he should be allowed to adopt dogs, as long as dogs are allowed to adopt Michael Vick and do whatever they want with him.
Mm.
But,
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think word's probably gotten around the shelter. Can you imagine being the dog picked by Michael Vick?
Oh.
No. I don't feel good. Pick him.
He can be, you know, he's not beyond redemption.
Oh,
well, the fact
well,
is he played
mm.
so well 2 weeks ago, Rottweilers were cheering him. So I think you know, that's what really matters. And I think people have seemed to have forgiven him. But
I
am such a dog lover. It's
so
really a tough one for me.
I want to forgive the guy. I want to say that
Schultz
he paid
is
his
very
debt.
In the, you know, but I think there's a former jock club, too.
Would you,
very for, you know, giving the guy another chance.
Would you let a convicted child molester adopt kids?
Yeah, thank you, Jim. A good question.
Very good.
Yeah, and you know what?
No,
it's just
not.
If you really read the extent of what he did, it's just hard for me to.
And being able to throw and catch a ball well.
That's what I'm saying.
And
he should
no
not
bearing.
Get a pass.
Exactly.
No, I'm not saying he gets a pass. The guy went to jail. You know, that's not exactly a pass. I want to be forgiving. I want to say, okay, he's paid his debt to society. But you know, I'm in the same boat. I mean, maybe he can adopt one dog. Two of them? No. Two of them, he's going to get a ring together and take bets.
By the by. Oh, you can take your organ back out. I have to say, in this holiday season, I told you I'm a little hope. I have a little glimmer of bipartisan hope. Just from running into Ben Stein last night, who said nice things about me, and Ted Olson, who I had a great conversation with, and Larry Elder, even, who, you know, we can disagree, maybe, without being disagreeable, is all I'm saying, sometimes. but not with a lot of times because they're asshats. But my point is, Joe Scarborough, also, you know, who I disagree with a lot, but again, can be sort of a reasonable Republican. Yep. And he called, what's his name, DeMint and Kyle on the carpet and said they owe Harry Reid an apology for questioning his faith. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, there really is just no low that's too low for them to sink to sometimes. Mike Barnicle said on Morning Joe, these are not serious people. Do they really think we're that stupid? This rises to the level of self-parody when they question his faith for
right.
making them work over Christmas, whatever. Joe Scarborough was the most incensed at the senator's comments, noting the American troops are fighting in Afghanistan during the holidays and they owe Senator Reid an apology. So, thank you, Joe Scarborough. Oh boy, speaking of other faiths, when you do your traveling, when you go through your special NSA checks over the holidays, mm-hmm. oh boy. You knew this would be out of Texas. Texas airport security insults India after wrongfully demanding to search a UN ambassador's turban.
Wow.
He's the ambassador. He's the Indian ambassador.
Unbelievable.
And it's, you know, it's not against the religion for someone else to touch it. Like, he can search it himself. But the Indian press reported on this incident last month in which Houston, Texas airport security officials detained India's UN envoy. In a holding room for 30 minutes because he was wearing a turban. He's a Sikh, you know, and he's obliged to keep, you know, his head covered.
I didn't know he was
officials
sick.
Demanded to physically check his turban themselves. He informed them that TSA regulations allow him to check himself, which then they checked and found out that was correct. Oh, boy. All right. Thank you, Buford Pusser. All right. The president yesterday on Afghanistan.
Today, al-Qaeda's senior leadership in the border region of Afghanistan and Pakistan is under more pressure than at any point since they fled Afghanistan 9 years ago.
He acknowledged the corruption in the Afghan government and terrorist safe havens in Pakistan threatened to undermine the gains made by U.S. military forces.
So are we going to go to war with Pakistan?
Oh, God, I hope not. I got to tell you something. I really, you know, and this is not a surprise to me. A new poll out, let's see which one, ABC Washington Post poll finds a record 60% of Americans now think the war has not been worth fighting. Mm-hmm. It's now as unpopular as Iraq. I've said this is yet another mess that was dropped in President Obama's lap. It just was. If mm-hmm. we had gone in there and gotten, you know, bin Laden and, you know, finished the job then. But I am of the mind, like, what are we doing now?
Right.
And we really ought to, you know. But here's the problem. Republicans, once again, despite the American people's growing displeasure with the longest war in American history, conservative leaders have already begun preparing to delay or scuttle the Obama administration's plan to begin withdrawing troops mm-hmm. In July of next year, much as they resisted pulling out of Iraq. Earlier this month, Lindsey Graham suggested he wants to have a permanent U.S. military presence in the country, saying, mm-hmm. I think it would really secure the gains we made to have a U.S. presence in Afghanistan, two air bases. Earlier this year, John McCain, our obstructionist little friend, threw every argument he could against setting a withdrawal date in Afghanistan, saying it was ill-advised, purely a political decision, it would show weakness, all the same arguments we've heard. Yes.
And you remember about the political part.
Yeah.
When RNC chair Michael Steele slipped up and finally said one correct thing, conservative pundits pounced on him, you know, to get him back in line because he said, you know, essentially the truth about Afghanistan.
Just like 200 million a day, kids. 200 yeah. million a day.
Yeah, all the screaming about the deficit, and it's unbelievable.
Catch 50 al-Qaedas.
Yeah.
Carl in Orange County to close us out. Hey, Carl.
Hi. Perfect segue for me because I just want to remind everybody, it seems like everybody's forgotten, what the Republican slogan was that was plastered all over the place at their 2008 convention. It was available. You could see it from every camera mm-hmm. angle. It said country first. Country first.
Which country?
They just meant the music.
They didn't mean this country.
Yeah. some other country. Happy holidays.
Yeah, they have happy holidays. This country, but not if the black guy's right. in charge. Then some other country.
A room full of black guys.
Yes, right. Can you play Vacation,
like
please, so we can go?
Of music, country and western.
All right. Kids, that's it for us. Have a happy, happy holiday. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, and Miranda Moreno in for Rebecca Taylor. John Fugel saying in New York, happy Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa, everybody.
See you next year.
See you January 3rd.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.